You take the balloon, and you rub the balloon on your head like this. And then it'll stick to the wall.
Brown shoes, brown belt. Black shoes, black belt.
You want to know how to whistle? Pucker your lips. You leave a little hole like this. Blow out. And that's how you whistle.
Yellow and blue make green.
Come on, Brett! Open your
eyes! Get some glasses, you idiot!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For a few quick pointers, visit actagainstviolence.org or call 877-ACT-WISE for a free brochure.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, the American Psychological Association, and the Ad Council.
Red Defender! Thank goodness you're here! That huge asteroid is headed right towards Earth!
I'll handle this.
Like an arrow shot from a man-sized bow, the Red Defender hurtles into space using his super strength to stop the asteroid.
He's stopping the asteroid. It's moving away from Earth. You saved us. How did you do it?
I just stopped the asteroid and reversed its course back into space.
Look, the moon. It's exploded.
Where exactly did you throw that asteroid?
Away. I threw it away.
No more moon. That means no more tides. Tides are created by the moon.
And no more walks in the moonlight. I love walks in the moonlight.
Saving the world isn't easy. Saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. To find out more, go to bloodsaves.com. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
That progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. It's going to be a full morning. 1-877-920-WGNU. We're going to be talking to Fred Pierce. He is the author of With Speed and Violence: Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. And also, we are going to be talking I don't know if you all heard about this. There was so much going on during the shootings at Virginia Tech. But there were inmates at the Newcastle Correctional Facility that took over. This is a medium control facility that took over the facility. And we're going to talk to the executive director of the Sentencing Project, Mark Maurer, with the Race to Incarcerate. And also we're going to be talking to Ed Mead. Ed Mead is the publisher of a California prison focus magazine. And they're going to talk about why we're having riots in medium facility institutions. And then, of course, we're going to have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Let's handle some of our business. Christine.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk about a basketball player by the name of Stephon Marbury. He plays for the New York Knicks, and he's doing a wonderful thing. He's trying to change the mindset of a lot of young people who commit murder and mayhem over a pair of basketball tennis shoes. There have been youngsters who have been beaten into brain damage, permanently crippled, and murdered for a pair of basketball sneakers, and the cost is astronomical, $100 and $200. And he's trying to get the children to think about buying, it's a product that he's backing, and the tennis shoes are named Starburys, and they cost $14.98 a pair, and they're beautiful-looking shoes, and he's just trying to get the teenagers to stop murdering one another over a pair of tennis shoes to try to, I guess, they boost their image or self-esteem or...
Well, we have to go deeper than what the teenagers feel a certain thing because of what adults teach them, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not they woke up one morning and said, let me go harm somebody for some tennis shoes. We live in a society that says that the value that you have is based upon what you wear on your back or wear on your feet. And that has to be part of this whole process. I resist the urge to say this is about teenagers killing each other in the street. It's really about a societal push that what kind of society do we live in that would make a $500 tennis shoe? What on earth could a tennis shoe have in it that is worth $500 a pair, $200 a pair, $300 a pair? They don't cost that much to make them. The value that is attached to them is the value that this society has placed upon celebrityism, and this society has placed on things. So this isn't to me. And I know about him. It's not about the kids doing that. It's about giving kids, also letting kids know, teaching kids what other adults are not teaching them. And that is that things don't have to cost that much, and you don't have to have them because they cost that much.
I understand what you're saying, and I think it's admirable is what he's trying to do.
Absolutely.
And there's another player that's going along with him. I'm not sure if his first name.
Shaquille.
I think it's Dan Wallace of Chicago. And like you said, it's a deeper problem. But could you answer this for me? Why do you think that it's mostly African teenagers who do this?
Why would you think that?
I would think that it's societal.
Well, I know, but I mean, why? You asked me the question of why is it that it's mostly African kids, and my question is that what would make you draw the conclusion that it's mostly African kids that are doing this?
Well, I guess it's that I've been looking and listening to the so-called media.
Why would you draw that conclusion? You think that there aren't other kids out there that are doing the same damn thing? Of course there are.
Yeah, that's true, and I should know better. I should. And I wanted to say to the, and another thing is that the shoes are beautiful.
Yeah, of course they are. Shoes don't have to be $500,000 to put them on your feet. And I'm talking to women as well as little boys with tennis shoes.
And
a woman that has spent money on shoes that I know better of.
They interviewed one young man, and he was just so sure that the teenagers wouldn't wear them because they cost $14.98, even though they are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Prince Carter, good morning.
You know, I am so glad I am not a woman. You know, women have to have a pair of shoes for every outfit.
Well, no, it's worse than that. Gotta have a purse, too.
Yeah.
Gotta have a purse,
kinda
too.
Expensive.
Yeah, well, it's, trust me.
But, Liz, I was glad the lady made mention it. I think that professional athletes have some form of responsibility because so many of our young people do watch them, and they kind of look up to them.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think that they have some form of responsibility. I think they have a whole lot of responsibility.
But, you know, I haven't seen these. I've heard about these $14.99 tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been told is they look just like the ones that cost $100 and some.
No, $200 and $300.
So that raises the question to me. You know, I like Michael Jordan. Don't get me wrong.
He
But, you know, he has made it. And he's made a good life for himself.
Well, after the divorce, I guess he would be saying the quote, I don't know if he has made it, after his wife got half. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think Michael Jordan should jump on the bandwagon and drop them tennis shoes that he's been selling for $150, $200 and start a trend as well, because it doesn't make sense, you know, and the poor folks, for the most part, oftentimes are the ones that stress themselves out over those tennis shoes.
I disagree with that. I would say that middle class people have no business buying $500, $300 pair of shoes for their kids or themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is across the board. I think that it weighs heavier on a person who is, now, you know, and I really want to know what the definition of poor is anymore. If gasoline is costing $3.18.
We all poor.
Okay, we all poor. Okay.
let me share this with you. A friend of mine is she's a single parent, does an excellent job. She has a 9-year-old son. He's on the honor roll. He's a peer mediator and everything. She teaches him options. When they, you know, because some of these stores, they have the tennis shoes for $100 and some, or you can get 2 for $89. She gives him the option. You choose what's in your best interest, the one pair for $100 or your two pair for $89. Things like that is what we need to focus
on. And that's what I was talking, and that's what I was talking about with Christine, the last caller, is what kind of society do we live in that it makes sense for anybody to spend $300 on a pair of tennis shoes and make it
$100. I won't spend $45 on a pair. And I work, and I got money, and I won't spend, you know, I really push myself to spend $40 on a pair of tennis shoes.
But I think that we could all examine our lives about the things that we spend money on that we know that we shouldn't be spending money on. They're all because we live in a society that pushes us to buy things. Now, your thing may not be tennis shoes,
mm-hmm.
but it might be something else out there.
Like fishing.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Keep up the good work.
All right, take care of yourself. My name is Liz Brown, and I got to come back and talk about what the... How is it that I'm watching American Idol last night and they pop up old George W. Bush and Stepford wife Laura? What was that? What was that? I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 270 from 44th through Doherty Ferry. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Everything is moving at the speed limit, but traffic is heavy up in North County as well. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Look for some slowdowns. Northbound 55. From Butler Hill into the 270 interchange, look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some slowdowns. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue into the 5570 split, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for some slowdowns, and then again from east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road, look for some delays around the 270 interchange. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to occasional showers and scattered thunderstorms, otherwise cooler with a high only around 70. For this evening, showers and thunderstorms continue, low in the upper 50s. For Thursday, showers and thunderstorms again with a high around 70. Thursday evening, cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 60. And Friday, pretty much cloudy skies, another chance for showers. The high should be in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Both are under overcast skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and your weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Praise the Lord, church family. It's me, Pastor E to the J to the D. Yours truly, doing my duty, live in the loop on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. And we just praising him a while. Check it out, church family. We got a brand new broadcast coming at you. It's the Friday Night Radio Broadcast Fellowship Hour. Every Friday night, 8 to 9 p.m. on your W, my W, IWGNU.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Oh, thank you.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Woo! I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah, there's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone's got their own opinion. And you know, I sure got mine. It's my way.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. David.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You are, and I appreciate you.
I thought what you told this one sister about the tennis shoes was excellent. I think one of the problems that we got to look at, regardless how much tennis shoes cost or what our children value, whatever, you know, possessions they have and what value they put on them, they got to look at, start looking at this thing in the right way, you know. I mean, I think that's our biggest problem. You know, I think we should start teaching our kids from a perspective that suits us, and I don't think we're doing that right now.
Oh, I think that there are so many challenges to living in this world that has been created despite us. The fact that you know what is surprising me right now, David, is I'm not hearing a whole lot of hollering about these gasoline prices. Okay, my job is talk radio, right? People are not calling up and talking about how high these gas prices are.
I
was going to tie it into this whole thing about what we teach our children about the value of things. We should be losing our dang minds about the price of gas right now, because the driving season hasn't even started. And gasoline is already up to $3.19 a gallon. $3. And there's no way that gasoline should be costing $3.19 a gallon. We're focused on the wrong things. And part of the reason why, how much do you think tennis shoes are going to cost with gasoline at $3.19 a gallon?
Oh, it should go up at least about 15%.
Okay.
At least should be. You know, I think that one of the things that's important to look at is, and people prioritize things, you know, but just like you said, this gas. You know, a lot of times people look at it like this. We live in a country that manipulates parts of the world, that basically controls parts of the world. And the thing about it is most people are just so happy about living in a country that they feel that dominates the planet. They don't look at the negatives that they impose on themselves. And just like, you know, for our kids, you know, this mono-ethnic curriculum, this white study and all this other stuff, they don't look at it. It's gotten to the point where they think it's normal for them.
Well, and also we have to also, and it is critical to underscore and to tease out and to talk out the impact of this curriculum on children of African descent. That is
dangerous.
That is critical. That is crucial. But we also, when you make the comment about what people in this country outside of the African community, what they think about this country, it also comes from that same dishonest curriculum. I know that more children would be connected to history if they told the truth about history. And more children would understand and be concerned about the things that are being done by our government if the truth were told to them about their history.
Well, at least one thing, and I'll close with this, you'll find out that Europeans are not the progenitor of everything they say they are.
And everybody needs to know that. Everybody needs to know that.
Goes past feeling good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Because if you're feeling good because of something funky that you're ingesting, then you ain't feeling good for real.
I understand. Hey, before I go, I wanted to ask you this. You know, yesterday I listened to you talk to this lady for a few seconds about HIV, AIDS. And, you know, the first thing I thought about is in India, you got more black people in that country than any country on the planet. Stop testing these people for HIV. And if somebody has AIDS, treat them for the symptoms that they have. That's the solution.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Mary.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, where's the tennis shoes for $14.98 sold? I caught the ending of it.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know where they're sold in St. Louis or if they're sold in St. Louis.
Okay, you said they look good.
Yes, I've seen pictures of them, but I haven't seen them in stores.
Well, my son has MS, and he drags his feet a lot, and I'm always getting him tennis, so I try to get the cheaper ones that's you know, doable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was trying to figure I could get him a bunch of them at $14.98.
Absolutely.
You tear them up so fast. Now, I wanted to mention this. You mentioned American Idol and the president and his wife on last night.
Uh-huh.
That was very surprising. But my thing is, I've lived long enough to realize that a lot of time when people take up a lot of money, it doesn't always go to the people that they say they're, all of it doesn't go to the people that they say they're getting it
for. Well, what is so just so foul that here we have George W. Bush on American Idol, problem right there. But secondly, connected to all that money that
Anyway, my point is, I'm just wondering, they say they took up $70 million, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, is all that money going to go for the purpose that they say it is? George Bush grinning and going on trying to get all the money he can for this war and everything. I'm just wondering, I'm feeling that the poor kids across the nation will get some of it, but I doubt seriously if they're going to get all that $70 million.
Thank you, Mary. And the point that I would like to add to that is that what was particularly foul about Bush being on there with money being collected for people who need it, and particularly some people as a result of what happened with Katrina. We have the dude that's sitting there shucking and jiving and grinning and his Stepford-looking wife sitting next to him, grinning as well. We know that he didn't take money from millions, hundreds of millions of dollars from other countries that tried to donate to the United States, hundreds of millions of dollars, $500 million. $500 million. That went missing and unclaimed due to this dude? Of course the money is not going to go where you want it to go. Why would you put this dude's face on it? Because he is the poster child of contracts being given out to friends. Locks and dams being built that are faulty because of no-bid contracts being given out to his friends. His brother's friends. You want to make certain that your money doesn't go where it's supposed to? Put Boy George in charge of it. Donna, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I just wanted to respond to Mary's question about where you can find the Starberries. You can find them at Steve and Barry. And they are $14.98. There's a nice looking tennis shoe. Got a couple.
Where's Steve and Barry?
Steve and Barry, it's out at Northwest Plaza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Oh, thank you for that, Donna. 1-877-920-WGNU. Michael.
Good morning, Liz.
Good
Welcome
morning.
Back.
Thank you.
If I listen to you in the morning, I feel uninformed. My question is this: do you believe with George's Boy George's veto, which he signed at Crayon, has emboldened the oil companies to expand their rates because they feel that their free ride might be over?
No. I don't. They feel bold for so many reasons, Michael. I can't really narrow it down to that one signing. That gas was $3.19 before he signed the veto. So no, I don't think that one particular act. I think that one particular act reminds them of whose side he's on. But they've been emboldened since he walked in the front door and Dick Cheney sat down with them in that secret meeting. That's when they got their emboldenism.
And they got reckless with it.
No, they got paid. They got paid.
Yeah, too.
All right. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations. The Lutheran Family and Children's Services present their annual Spring Fling Carnival on Saturday from 11 to 2. It takes place at Elm Point Early Childhood Center in St. Charles. Enjoy food, games, raffles, and much more. You can buy 5 tickets for $1 before May 5th. Tickets are 4 for $1 the day of the event. Proceeds go toward purchasing classroom supplies. Find out more by calling 636-916-4041. Something for you from AM 920.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, my name, my name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Oh, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I wanted to throw something in today about this whole thing with illegal immigration and, you know, especially after the protests the other day. And this is something that my son said that just made a bell go off in my head. He quoted our president, or the guy that's in the office of the presidency right now, or president that is, and he said, "Well, Dad, you know they say that the people, the illegal immigrants, are just coming over here to get the jobs that nobody wants," and it just fell into place. I was like, "Wait a minute now, there's a lot of construction going on down in the Gulf Coast after that disaster called Katrina and Rita and all the other hurricanes. And I can remember there being protests because some of these so-called jobs that nobody wanted that these guys were getting were construction jobs. And they were paving jobs and carpentry jobs. So I'm thinking to myself, now, what U.S. citizen wouldn't want to make $30 to $40 an hour? I can't think of very many. Of course, there are going to be some, but when you don't have a job or you're working at McDonald's and you know you aren't going to get anywhere near that, I'm sure that Joe Sixpack and Jane Sixpack would love to have that money. Now, the problem is...
What makes you think that they're getting paid that money?
Oh, no. That's where the problem is. Those illegals aren't getting that money.
Undocumented?
Thank you. Better term. Those undocumented workers or undocumented people in our country are not getting that money. They're getting paid $2, $3, $4, $5 an hour for a job that would pay normally $40 and $50 an hour. So that mess that these guys have been shoving down everybody's throat is about that not being something anybody wants is total, total nonsense. It's once again the rich trying to get every single penny they can, and they could care less about you and me. God is money to many people. I'm sorry, money is God to countless throes of people in this country. And as soon as the populace realizes that and understands they're putting that money in front of you, I think we'll have a change.
And there's also there's some more to this as well. A lot of undocumented workers do things that other American documented Americans would not do.
Oh, sure.
And they do work that is paid less for lousy work. They do those jobs. Other Americans say, I'm not going to work that for that way for that little bit of amount of money. But also something that undocumented workers have going for them that American citizens don't have is that a worker can get a whole lot out of a desperate worker than they can a non-desperate worker,
oh, sure.
A worker that they can threaten with. Now, maybe one worker is documented, but maybe his wife or his children are not. So an employer can threaten that he doesn't have to threaten him because he's documented, right? But he can threaten to take away that documentation. He can threaten to drop a dime on his wife or his sister or his nephew or his nieces. It's a population that can be taken advantage of by Americans, the so-called Americans that have their citizenship papers, can take advantage of this type of worker. They can pay them less, they can keep them longer because they can threaten them in a way that other workers cannot be threatened. And it is an advantage to unscrupulous employers that,
absolutely,
you know, these good old Americans that have their papers, okay, and are unscrupulous work employers that take advantage of these people. Now, there's also the other piece of then you demonize these people and make it look like they just living the life of Riley by being here in this country. No, that is not necessarily true. And then we also have to talk about the billions of dollars that this country gets from those undocumented workers with using false Social Security numbers. The taxes are taken out of that money.
Absolutely.
Okay? Every single year. And that money comes straight to America. With people that use fake ID numbers, their taxes are being taken out. So America is making billions of dollars off of these people. Take these people out of our economy, and our economy, businesses are going to go belly up all over this nation. So if you want to stop undocumented workers, you stop them just like you want to stop bad words from being used in rap music. You want to stop bad words from being used in country music. You want to stop sexy or inappropriate sexist types of videos from being shown on TV. You don't start with the artists. You start with the people who pay the artists.
Right.
The people that own these companies, that's where you start. You start at the top. It's easy to go after a 21-year-old rapper out here making a whole lot of money for saying dirty words, nasty words, self-loathing words on the radio like a child. But you need to go at the people that pay them. That's where you start.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your call.
One last thing, and you're absolutely right on that. I wouldn't have as much of a problem with the folks if they were getting the same wages that we got, you know. I really wouldn't, because then at least these people are getting what they're, you know, what they deserve to get. I'm not saying that these people are bad or any of that. They're human beings. I don't care where they're from. They are human beings, and this so-called Christian-led country should be welcoming these people and giving them the lift up. You know, we've got this thing called the Statue of Liberty that obviously doesn't mean what it's supposed to.
Thanks for
because
your call.
Because we're supposed to take all those folks. But, yeah, you have a good day.
All right, take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Morning, Liz.
Good morning, Clifford.
I listen to you so much, sometimes I think you're my woman. But anyway, I'd like for you to respond to this, you know, concerning the tennis shoes and the gasoline.
Okay.
What do you think about people that are willing to pay $1.25 for a 20-ounce bottle of water? I think that's kind of ludicrous. You know what I'm saying?
I know. And you know what? And I'm one of those people. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Particularly when I did the show on a lot of the water in your bottled water comes from the same place the water comes from in your tap.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
And most of the bottled water is dead water. You know what I'm saying? It don't have any kind of nutritional value to it, you know. All the minerals have been taken out of.
All right. But you still got to put something in you now.
Absolutely.
All right now. Thank you, Clifford.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about prison riots. Why are they happening? What's the reason for it? And then in the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to be talking to the author of With Speed and Violence. There's some crazy stuff going on out here in Mother Nature land. Crazy stuff going on out here. And I'm going to be talking to the author that's going to break down some of this crazy stuff, Fred Pierce, With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. I'm going to be talking to him in the 8 o'clock hour. Solar pulses, what's a solar pulse? We're going to be talking about that. Climate, and I love this line, climate is an angry beast, and we are poking it with sticks. Fred Pierce is going to be joining me in the 8 o'clock hour. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, of course, Peter Downs, St. Louis Public Schools Watch, always so much coming at us. 1-877-920-WGNU. Yusuf?
Islam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
How you doing this
morning? Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The war in Iraq, the continual fleecing of America, the phony war on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Phony. You know, it's costing the American people, listen, America, $193 billion a year. And then to top it off, talking about we're reconstructing Iraq. Sounds like the deconstruction of Iraq, destruction of Iraq.
No child left behind. Come on,
nothing
but lies.
Yeah, come on with it.
Nothing but lies.
Ain't this something?
The Patriot Act, nothing but lies.
This is the phoniest thing that ever was. America, you being hoodwinked, you being taken by, you know, a phony government that's installed right now.
You've been taken by the D student ex cheerleader and cokehead.
Ain't that
how that feel?
You know, it's time to bring it down, America.
Thanks for your call,
Yusuf. Ma'am.
My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back after the news.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush made good on the promise. He said he would veto any bill that sets a date for troops to leave Iraq, and now he sent a funding bill back to the House. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Congressional leaders head for the White House this afternoon to talk about the next version of the bill that's needed to pay for the war. Speaker Nancy Pelosi indicates it may be a frosty session.
The president wants a blank check. The Congress is not going to give it to him.
Before that, House members will debate and vote on overriding the president's veto. The override expected to fail, but Democrats vow to keep pushing for an end to the war. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
How much can Democrats really accomplish at the meeting?
Democrats are divided right now. You have one group, the No Retreat camp, led by former Senator John Edwards and others, who say that the Democrats should just keep sending the same bill up again and again and again until the president buckles. You have a different group who want to declare victory now, not fight again on the funding bill, should give the troops the funds they need right now. A third camp says that perhaps they should give the president some short-term funding bills for 30, 60, or 90 days and force him to keep coming back for the request. But because the Democrats are having trouble coming together, these negotiations could take some time.
ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent George Stephanopoulos. The crowds weren't as big as they were last year, but immigrants made their voices heard in yesterday's protests. Some of the biggest events were in Los Angeles. There were also rallies, marches, voter registration drives, and call-in events in Chicago, New York City, Washington, and other places. Roseanne Barr is certainly doing her part to keep the rumors going that she may be the person to replace Rosie O'Donnell on The View. While ABC has not yet officially reached out to the actress and comedian, Barr told a Las Vegas TV station this week that she would jump at the chance if she was asked, and she would do her best to, in her words, stir up some real good controversy. This is ABC News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by board-trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
Here at Ortho, we get stories like this all the time.
You haven't really heard a scream until your kid sees a bug in the house. So I turn to Ortho Home Defense Max. It kills the bugs I already have and forms this barrier that stops new ones from coming in for a whole year. That's 12 months. I don't have to worry about bugs or screams.
Tell your story. Read others. Find out how to solve your bug problem. All at orthoprotects.com. This weekend, protect your home from bugs with Ortho Home Defense Max. Follow directions on label.
We are learning more about a suspected Washington, D.C. escort service than we may have wanted to, but somehow we can't seem to get enough of it. Here's ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
Gene Palfrey, under indictment for running a Washington, D.C. prostitution ring, also ran a very tight ship. While denying doing anything illegal, the dozens of newsletters she sent to her call girls are an important element in the government's case against her. She warned how to keep an eye out for undercover police posing as clients. But there was much more. Nail polish color had to match lipstick, and instructions how her women should dress so they could blend into Washington society.
They were not cheap. These were not cheap women. These are very nice women who just needed to make a few extra dollars.
I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
Oh, you can be buried with your best friend, furry or feathered, if you live in Florida. Lawmakers passed a bill that allows you to be laid to rest with your pet if the pet is cremated. Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
It's time for an update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news today, Ameren UE is disagreeing with the state's decision to close Johnson shut-ins for the summer. The park was largely destroyed in December of 2005 when a billion gallons of water flooded the area after the collapse of the Tom Sauk Reservoir, which is owned by Ameren. The utility released a statement Monday that claims a safe and restored river system, shut-ins, access, and security controls could be in place in time to open the park by July 1st. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources recently announced the park would remain closed this summer, largely because the restoration of the park is being stalled by an ongoing dispute between the state and Ameren. A legal settlement between the two is in the works, but has not been finalized. For those who visit Missouri wine country, the detour there is over. Highway 100 near Herman, closed in early April when some of the roadway collapsed because of a landslide, is now open again.
MoDOT wrapped up the work earlier than the original projections. They replaced guardrails Monday and still have some stripping to do, but the road's open for business. The closure was about 2 miles east of Highway 19. And the Girl Scouts of Greater St. Louis are calling their 10th annual April Showers Drive a success. The Scouts collected more than 1 million personal care items for local families and individuals in need last weekend. The items will be distributed to pantries and shelters throughout the council's service area, which includes St. Louis and 12 surrounding Missouri counties. Donations will continue to be accepted at all Dierbergs Market's 21 Missouri locations through this Sunday. That's WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for delays. Westbound 270 from 367 into West Florissant. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. Look for heavy volume. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270. Got heavy delays there as well. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto into the onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for some delays there as well. And westbound 64 from 15th and the 5570 merge. Look for some slowdowns there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Occasional showers and a possible thunderstorm. Otherwise cooler with a high around 70 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely low in the upper 50s. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms high around 70. And Friday, pretty much the same. Chance of showers and thunderstorms highs in the mid-70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have overcast skies, 63 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. It's St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown. That's on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Yeah.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Peter Downs. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
And here we are another week. Talk to us about what happened last week. What were some of this? Highlight it before we get to our break here.
All right, sure. Last Wednesday we had our school board meeting, and the biggest thing was the school. I don't know what worse than that, but school consolidations and then changing the configurations of several schools, which means changing the grades and moving some schools around.
And closing some schools.
Yes. Okay. We close some schools, we move some schools, we change the grade levels at some schools.
Okay. So let's talk about some of that. One of the things that we see happening all over the country, the concern about closing of schools. Let's talk about the schools that have been closed.
Okay. Humboldt School was closed. Those students will be going to Lowrature Middle School next year. Webster was closed. Those students will be going to Blewett. Oh, let me change that. The Humboldt Middle School was closed, and Humboldt is going to be used as a ninth grade center. So Lafayette is the school that's being closed in that scenario there. The Ashland Annex is being closed, and the students in the Annex are all being moved to the main building.
Okay.
And the Turner Branch is closed, and those students, that was the ninth grade center for Sumner for 1 year, and the ninth grade will be going back into Sumner.
And what about the Montessori schools?
The Montessori schools, you had two schools across the street from each other, and one school, I'm blocking on the name of which one, Euclid Montessori, was closed, and those students will be moved across the street in the Washington Montessori, so all the Montessori students will be in one building.
So will there still be a Montessori program?
Yes.
Okay. And I'd like to talk at another time about the Montessori program itself, but let's keep talking about the school closures. Now, why is that? Why are these schools being closed?
Because of declining enrollment.
But here's the thing, Peter. There are some schools out there that talk about overcrowding. I will have the name for you after the break. Particularly, I have teachers that have 23 kids, and I know that that's meeting state standards, but teachers with 23 kids in a classroom, is that a result of overcrowding, or is that a result of the lack of teachers? Because I don't understand if we're closing schools, and I'm hearing about schools.
The number of buildings you use doesn't affect the class size.
So this is a result of what?
That is a result of the district trying to obey state law and not spend more money than it takes in, and so therefore it has to. It's been at maximum class sizes.
When you talk to parents out here about the school closures out here, what kind of comments are you hearing from parents? Because I know that there were some concerns over in the Central West End area about opening an alternative school. That was some concern.
There were several people from the Central West End who came to the school board meeting. Yes, about reopening De Pere as an alternative school. It was an alternative school there before. It's going to be an alternative school again. There weren't people who came to the meeting to talk about, parents who came to talk about school closings. The public comments we got at the meetings I went to, and then the printout of public comments we got, all the board members got a printout of public comments that were submitted. They were overwhelmingly not about closing schools, but on the 7 to 12 thing that was suggested for McKinley and Soldan. And of those, the big majority were against moving Bunch into Soldan and having 7 to 12 at Soldan. And that was not done then.
Okay. We're going to continue our conversation. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Stay with me.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hey, hon, did you know that if a loan was paid off early, you could get money back for the credit insurance?
I think I saw a legal notice on that.
Yeah, it's on car loans and boats, appliances, lots of things.
If you bought Credit Life, Credit Disability, Gap, or Involuntary Unemployment Insurance when you took out a loan and did not receive a refund for unearned premiums when the loan was paid off early, you could get a payment from a class action settlement. If you're included, you may submit a claim form for a payment, or you can exclude yourself from the settlement or object to it. Claim forms are due by May 24, 2007. The deadline for objections and exclusions is March 30, 2007. To learn more, go to creditpremiumcase.com or call 1-800-896-5685. That's 1-800-896-5685.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, it's me. This is Kayla Thompson calling you from the Cliff School, second grade, room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for buying me a pretty necklace in Africa. Every time I wear the pretty necklace, I think about you. When I grow up, I would like to be just like you. Thank you for teaching us about Africa. You are a very beautiful lady, and you are special to me. I love you so much, Miss Liz. Yesterday, I received a trophy. This is Kayla Thompson from 209, where dignity reigns supreme. From all the children in room 209, have a great summer. We love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. And before we get to Peter, I want to introduce a new advertiser that we have joining the Wake Up Call family. I've been trying to tell you for years what you need to do to stay healthy and to be healthy. The things you need to know about your water, your air, and everything else. Well, now we have the place where we want you to go to make, so you have no excuses. No more excuses. Golden Grocer Natural Market is joining the Wake Up Call advertising family. We are so excited to have them. And now you have a place to go to take your health into your own hands. What do they say? Live life like it's golden.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And Peter, I want to move from the schools, just for school closings, just for a second, and relocations and openings. You know, I guess it's just the lawyer in me. I want to talk about lawsuits. I want to talk about the battles that this district, and I would say the ridiculous, needless waste of energy, time, and money battles, the legal battles that this school district has to engage in order simply to get what is theirs. Talk to us about this, about Francis Slay holding up $5 million from our district. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, there's tax money to the district that the city is holding back. The city collects all the tax money.
Right.
And this tax money they're holding back and not paying the district.
Why?
And this has been going on since last summer.
Okay.
All right. This is money. It's taxes that people have protested that they're paying too much tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are protests that are over a year old. It's not, you know, money you paid in January.
What people?
You know, property owners in the city. They say, let's say your tax bill was, $1,000 3 years ago, and it went up to $1,200 2 years ago, and mm-hmm. you protest saying, oh, I don't think it should have gone up so much. Then the city is withholding that whole $1,200 that's due the school system from the schools.
Huh?
Even though someone's protesting, say, $200, they have a right under Missouri law, protects the tax increase. It goes up to a state panel to be heard.
Uh-huh.
And so all that money that people protest their taxes on, due to the schools,
it's amounted to $5 million. So says the city.
Well, last fall it was at $5 million. They've actually paid us some of it, and it's currently, I understand from our treasurer, it's currently at over $3 million. That they owe us. And this is money, you know, the most of it is money that everybody agrees is due us. But because there's a portion that's being protested, they're withholding the whole thing from people's tax payments.
From children.
From children. Our
district. Now, I'm a lawyer. You got to go into court and say something about why you're not paying this. What are they saying?
They're saying that they're withholding it because if the taxpayers should win their protests, and about 10 to 15% of taxpayers do, that they don't think we could pay the taxpayers back.
And mind you, we're not talking about a taxpayer is saying, I don't believe I owe $1,000 to the school. They're saying, I don't believe I owe $50, $200, or whatever.
Right. We're
talking about a little bit of a fraction of the $5 million that they held.
Yes, we're talking about this $3 to $5 million now. That's all the money paid by all the taxpayers who are protesting a fraction of what they're paying. So a fraction of the taxpayers win their protest.
A fraction of a fraction win
their protest over that fraction they're paying.
And the city's withholding all of it.
And the city's withholding all of it.
So now we have to go into court. We have to pay lawyers. We have to pay people to get this money back that we're going to get back.
Right.
And we don't have the benefit of the use of that money.
Right.
And so we are losing, we're losing three or four or five times here in
this
battle.
Yes. Yeah. And the city's gaining because as long as they hold this money, they're collecting interest on it.
Well,
and they aren't going to pay us the interest when they're told finally to pay us. They're just going to pay us the principal, if you will.
So the city got to hold on to $5 million worth of interest for a year, $3 million worth of interest. And I'm no accountant, but that's a lot of money that they get to hold on for free, for jacking our money.
Yeah, yeah. And this is really...
Kind of like tickets at the baseball, cops taking tickets at the baseball, at the World Series game. I mean, you know, no harm. This isn't wrong. This isn't illegal. This is not wrong to do this.
But this is... I'm going to leave that one alone. But this is typical of the fact that there are attacks from the city,
mm-hmm.
from the state withholding money. You know, we have another lawsuit over the money they're withholding that's due us. From the legislature withholding money, all up and down the line, people withholding money that is due the school system, which makes it really impossible to operate the way we're supposed to operate. And then they turn around and say, well, we didn't pay the money, but ha, it's your fault you don't have any money.
There you go. Oh, not only is it your fault that you don't have any money, but the criticism is that one of the school reason why we have to take away control from you, we have to insert this three-person panel, is because you all don't know how to manage your money. Well, give us our dang money so that we can do what we need to do.
Right. Give us the money, let's see.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jake.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Down. Mr. Dunn, can you inform us as to the academic status of this year's seniors at this graduation time, college-bound, graduating, et cetera?
No, I do not have the statistics on how many are graduating or how many are college-bound.
Because we haven't had graduation yet. So
I'm just wondering if we know at this time what the status is.
No, we haven't had graduation yet, so we don't know yet.
Typically, our numbers lag reality rather than come in front of it.
All right, do you have a reasonable guess? Are we better or worse off than we were last year?
I don't have those statistics
at
all.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for the question. It's good to see people looking forward to the progress that our district is going to make. But I want to get back to the money piece of it, because if we're going to talk about graduation rates, if we're going to talk about, again, looking at that picture of the student to see if this whole thing is working, we have to look at all of the things that go into making it work, don't we?
Right.
And so let's talk some more about these lawsuits that are out here that we have to battle. You mentioned that we have two other lawsuits out there trying to get more money that's owed to us. Talk to us about those other lawsuits out there.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about, speaking of, what's going to impact the graduation rates of any school districts. And I want to talk about the cost of charter schools. So let's talk about
that. All right. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there is.
First, lawsuits. We have a lawsuit. One lawsuit that's still pending is a lawsuit over desegregation money. Under the desegregation settlement agreement in 1999, the state agreed to send us a certain amount of money per child. And then starting in, I think it was 2002, they reneged. And they started sending less money. And that's a lawsuit of, for something like approximately $120 million. We initially won that suit. It went up to the Supreme Court, which threw out that verdict and ordered a new trial. And that's where it sits. Then there's another lawsuit, St. Louis and the majority of other school districts in the state. Suing the state over the amount of money the legislature allocates for education. Education is a state responsibility under the Missouri Constitution. And the argument is that the amount they allocate is not enough to educate children. I mean, it's that simple. They want to hold districts and schools and teachers accountable for educating the children. They say, well, that's fine. Then you got to allocate enough money for them to do their job. Mm-hmm. And they don't allocate enough money to do their job.
We'll continue this conversation. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 170 from Page through Del Mar. Look for road construction reduced to two lanes, and it's backed up to St. Charles Rock Road. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing, although it is slow. Northbound 270 from Tessan Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for delays around the 44 interchange. 270 westbound west of 367 through West Florissant, look for some delays. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road, look for some slowdowns. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill through 270, you've got some trouble going on there as far as moving at the speed limit is very heavy down in the South County region. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the PSB. Look for slow traffic, especially in the left lanes. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. You've got slowdowns going on there as well. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got slowdowns at the top of the ramp. Westbound 64 from 15th into the 5570 merge. Look for some slowdowns in this just in. Illinois over on the Illinois side, 55 southbound between Homestead area and 143, which is around the Edwardsville area. Look for an accident overturned truck. It's near mile marker 24. That has been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to occasional showers, possible thunderstorms, otherwise cooler with a high around 70 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the upper 50s. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms again with a high around 70, and Friday, pretty much the same. Showers and thunderstorms, a high in the mid-70s. Currently, we have 64 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting 65 in overcast skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs and Liz Brown is on the way. Otherwise, we'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
Hey, St. Louis, this is Sir Sax inviting you to a show called the Gospel Skate Party every Friday night at 10 p.m. It's a program in which I bring you the best in Christian rap, righteous R&G, a taste of that holy hip-hop, etc., etc. It's heard right here on WGNU 920 on your AM dial. Don't forget, the Gospel Skate Party every Friday at 10 p.m. Get your skates on and skate with Sir Sax.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
This
is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and this is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. We are back, and we're talking about the different lawsuits and the different costs to our district and the money that is not in our district and the reason why we have the challenges that we do. You talked about the couple of lawsuits.
Yes.
That we're fighting. But also, tell us about this additional charter school piece. When the St. Louis Public Schools pays its bills, okay, writes checks and pays its bills, how are charter schools paid? Do we write a check for them, and who gives us the bill, and are we allowed to scrutinize? I mean, it's normal. Like, you get a bill from AT&T, you look at the bill, you see if all of the charges on there are legitimate, and then you decide if you're going to pay your phone bill before your gas bill or before your rent bill or your mortgage bill. How does that work with charter schools since the St. Louis Public Schools are paying their bills?
Well, under state law, charter schools are always first. That's basically what it amounts to.
The St. Louis Public Schools are told to pay charter schools before their rent, before educational programs for 99% of the other kids, before teachers, before gas, before electric. That's the bill that's paid first.
Yes. Yes, the way my understanding, talking to our treasurer, is that the state law says that when St. Louis Public Schools gets their money from the state, they have to pay charter schools within 20 days of that.
Who gets paid within 20 days from the St. Louis Public Schools? I mean, the people.
Other than charter schools, I don't think anybody does.
Okay, I mean, you have people that are putting roofs on, people that are fixing boilers, people. They don't get paid within 20 days. Nobody gets paid within 20 days of the St. Louis with any governmental bureaucracy. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
I mean, name one. Name some. Does a city pay you within 20 days for anything? They don't.
I don't get my tax refund within 20 days from the state. You know, I can, yeah.
So charter schools have to be paid within 20 days?
Within 20 days.
Okay. All right. Got a problem with that, but let's move on from that. Who does the St. Louis Public Schools get to look at, again, a bill that they're paying to see if everything on there is something that they're supposed to be paying?
We get the bills from the charter schools, and we're supposed to pay whatever they bill. That's under state law. We're supposed to pay whatever they bill. Now, there's a little, there are other state laws about our fiduciary responsibility. You know, so it's a conflict there with state laws. If we think the charter schools are billing us for things that they aren't entitled to. And that's the situation right now. At the meeting last Wednesday, Enos Moss, our treasurer and CFO, talked about unethical billing. And those were his words, unethical billing from the charter schools to us, that they are inflating their attendance numbers by counting people, counting students twice, essentially, counting single students as two students, one's in the regular school day, and again, if they attend an after-school program.
Wow, the same student.
The same student.
Peter, before we go any further with this particular component of the charter school discussion, let's just talk about business. You want to open a business. Most of the time when you open up a business, you have to have a certain amount of budget, you have to have a certain amount of credit line, you have to have a certain amount of market understanding of it, that you're going to be able to sell what you're trying to sell or be successful in your business. What a great deal. You imagine the pitch that Francis Slay can give, or maybe this is the reason why Francis Slay wants to open and be in charge of his own charter school, because we talked about this, the money-making component of a charter school. Francis Slay, who's not paying us our tax money, okay, our $5 million tax money. Now he's going to be in charge of a charter school. And the law says you got to pay, the St. Louis Public Schools have to pay whatever bill the charter schools give to us. Imagine what a gold mine that could be for somebody that's not paying us our bills anyway.
That's right. And I want to, there's one thing I want to point out here, that the charter schools are handled differently in St. Louis than in Kansas City.
Huh?
In Kansas City, the state pays the charter schools directly. They don't pay, it doesn't come out of Kansas City schools budget. It comes directly from the state. And as a result, the state has different rules
than they
impose on us.
Peter, how is it that Kansas City charter schools are dealt with differently than our charter schools? Is there a component in the law that says that, oh, stick the city of St. Louis public schools, get them, gouge them, make sure that they have to pay stuff that we're not going to make the count that make Kansas City schools pay?
Well, the difference is, I don't think it's worded quite that way, mm-hmm. But difference.
It's not stick 'em.
But all the charter schools in Kansas City are their own, what's called local education agencies. And none of them in St. Louis are.
Okay, what is a local education?
It's a bureaucratic term, basically. It's a bureaucratic classification, which allows those schools or provides that those schools get their money directly from the state. They get grant money directly from the federal government.
Well, who makes the determination of that bureaucratic distinction? How does that come about?
I don't really know. I know we have the it has come up, and this stuff just kind of starting to get into, because the charter school that is sponsored by St. Louis Public Schools, the Construction Career Center, mm-hmm. we do sponsor one charter school, mm-hmm. Have for 5 years now, I guess, has requested that we, as their sponsor, allow them to become their own local education agency.
Okay.
And which suggests that it's up to the sponsors.
Okay.
So it would be up to, if Mayor Slay was sponsoring a bunch of charter schools, it would be up to him to decide whether or not he wants them to deal directly with the state or set money directly out of St. Louis Public Schools.
Now, when the state is dealing directly with a charter school, how do charter schools get paid? They get paid within 20 days?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, what are some of the other differences are? The rules that are different if they're that agency distinction?
Well, for example, one of the differences with St. Louis now, the money we get, we're paid based upon student enrollment from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for a charter school, for the payments we get for charter schools are based on the enrollment in charter schools 2 years ago rather than their current enrollment. Now, we have to pay them on their current enrollment, and charter schools have been growing, so we get money from the state. We get less money from the state than we have to pay out.
Wow.
All right. Now, when the state pays them directly, the state has to pay them
based on what they got.
Based on what they got.
Wow. So this is, we need a new term. It's not double dipping. It is. I don't know. Getting got. I mean, I just. They're just getting over. They're just getting over. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mary.
Yes. Imagine is opening up three new charter schools. Does Peter know anything about that?
There are. I'm not sure about the number three, but I know that Imagine is opening charter schools.
Who's their sponsor?
I'm not sure of the sponsor. Once before, I said something about a sponsor and got the college wrong.
Okay.
It's a college outside of St. Louis. But those are the ones. Imagine is the management company. And there are a couple different. I think there are actually a couple different sponsors. There are technically a couple different charters that have been contracted with Imagine to open the schools. You know, Imagine was the company that ran Thurgood Marshall into the ground.
Into the ground, thievery, all kinds of mismanagement, and now they're coming back. And there's another college that has gotten.
And there are a couple colleges that as sponsors. Schools they sponsor, they're contracting with Imagine to run the schools. We also have the school that Mayor Slay allocated the $23 million bond issue.
Jeff Smith School.
Jeff Smith School. And I understand there's another school that the state board is going to consider the application for at their next meeting, approving yet another charter school. So we're looking at three or four new charter schools for next year, 1,500 to 2,000 student capacity.
And if, let's say that Imagine gets, 400 kids.
All right.
We start paying their bill right away.
Yes.
Do we pay for their desk and their books and all of that?
Well, that all comes out of whatever, there's a certain amount they can bill per child. Okay, there's a flat fee per child, and they're supposed to pay all their expenses out of that flat fee per child. Now, one of the things going on that, again, hurts St. Louis, and I guess this is a break music.
Yeah,
we'll come back.
We'll come back and talk about that. Stay with me.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Was Sheik Jerry Lewis Bey the Moor a government target or gangster? Read the Jerry Lewis Bey story and decide for yourself. Available online at Amazon.com or locally at the Ujamaa Bookstore. Published by Stallion Group Publications.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Lee. This is Taylor Mitchell calling you from a clean school. Second grade room 209. Miss Liz, I'm having a great year. I love you. I love the beautiful necklace, African necklace that you gave me. Miss Liz, did you ever know that you're my hero? You are the best I ever know, just like my teacher. Because you are the star of my eyes, just like my teacher. I'm in room 209 where dignity reigns supreme. Have a happy summer. Love you.
Love you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And before I get back to Peter, I want to let you know about what's coming up for the rest of the morning here on the Wake Up Call. What's happening in the 9 o'clock hour, it's a discussion about prison riots. Why did that prison riot take place in a medium security institution not too long ago? We're going to talk about the privatization of prisons. We're going to talk about why prisoners are rioting. And we're going to talk about prison life with my guest in the next hour, in the 9 o'clock hour. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to, in the very next hour, we're going to talk to the author of With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear the Tipping Points in Climate Change. We're going to talk to Fred Pierce. We're going to have that discussion.
discussion. You want to know why it was 90 degrees yesterday and cold today? We're going to talk about that in the next hour with author Fred Pierce with Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. We're talking about tipping points here, I guess, as well. We're talking about this. So let's continue the conversation about charters you left off on.
Yeah, the other thing with charters, and it's another chunk of money mm-hmm. that charters are after, that the state is saying okay, and at the same time, the state is using as justification to not give us mm-hmm. more state money. Mm-hmm. As in we have a sales tax for schools in St. Louis. Back when the desegregation agreement settlement was made, you might remember the state created a transitional panel then, mm-hmm. and that panel's goal was to get the citizens to approve a sales tax for desegregation programs, and they did.
What year was that?
99, 2000. I'm not exactly around that period, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't. So we have this called the Proposition C is what it's called, and it's sales tax money that comes to St. Louis Public Schools. Well, the charter schools want that money. They have nothing to do with desegregation programs, but they want that money. And they've got the state to agree. And so the state, or at least what I've been told by treasurers, the state is taking the sales tax money and is...
Sales tax money that was voted on by voters for use in the DSEG program. The state is now saying, oh, well, anybody that hollers for it, we're going to give it to them. In this case, the charter schools are hollering for it. Let's give them
that's
the DSEG
right,
money.
That's right. So the state is including that as, is counting that as property tax. Of course, we all know when we pay a property tax, it's different from sales tax. But mm-hmm. the state is saying, oh, well, that's property tax, so charter schools get some. And that means your property tax is so high that you get less state aid.
Huh? So our school district, the charter schools are saying, we want Property C DSEG money. The state says, bet, you can have it. Okay, we're going to pay, we're going to give you this extra money out of DSEG money, which means that the St. Louis Public Schools are going to get less money because the charter schools are now going to get a hunk of that money, right?
Right.
And not only that, the state is saying, even though this is a sales tax and it's not a property tax, they're going to get that money. And the St. Louis Public Schools, because we are counting the sales tax as property tax, the St. Louis Public Schools are going to get less money because of this additional property tax.
Right. Right. Because the way state law works with education funding is the state sets a maximum property tax a school district can have. And if a school district goes over that, mm-hmm. the state says, well, we're trying to equalize funding across the state, so you're collecting more money than that maximum, so you get less state aid.
And it's not property tax.
And it's not property tax. And it was something created... You know, something the legislature created separately, specifically, you know,
to address the
past segregation of St. Louis public schools.
Exactly. So we're just being gotten in all kinds of extraordinary ways. So this governor has said, and this Republican-led legislation has said, sales tax is property tax. And because you went over your property tax, we're going to pay you less money and give more money to charter schools. Is that basically fundamentally it?
That's pretty close. I mean, it's, you know, everything the citizens of St. Louis do, and we're seeing this with the takeover now, everything the citizens of St. Louis do to improve our schools, the state says, oh, well, we're going to penalize you that.
We're going to penalize, and then if it's extra, if it's money, we're going to give it to somebody else.
Yes.
And we're going to talk bad about you and make everybody in the state think that you have no value in addition to that.
I mean, I think most of the... You know, most of the citizens in St. Louis are poor, and most of us know. It's just like the way they treat us as individuals. They take the money away. They deny us money due us and take it away and then say, oh, it's your fault. You can't manage your money. I mean, a lot of us have been there as individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Okay, so that's, again, it all started with, who was it that brought this legislation to us, this charter school legislation? What was it, Bill? Was it 15 something? I remember it was Lacey Clay. I was listening to a tape from 1998 of an interview that I did with Danforth about that very same piece of legislation. I remember Lacey Clay pushing this all the way through when he was a state senator, pushing this piece of legislation. And I haven't finished listening to all of that tape, but I know that there are things, I heard things on that tape that promises that were made about what was going to happen if we passed this bill. And it just, it's amazing to me to think back. These people were calculating 10 years ago about what they were going to do with this particular bill.
Yeah, my knowledge of the education and school system doesn't go back that far. That history is important,
you know,
to capture
really
and recall.
Because if it wasn't for that particular bill that gave the authority to create charter schools in the city of St. Louis, we wouldn't be here now.
That's right.
We would not be. Our district wouldn't have the financial challenges that it has right now.
That's right.
If it didn't have charter schools in them. So where are we now, Peter, in terms of what's going on in the legislature? Because we just have a few more days, a couple more days.
Two and a half weeks left of the legislative session.
So where are we?
Good question. I think for everybody looking, there's a lot of speculation because the people who want to pass all the who have proposed all these damaging things, mm-hmm. like give the mayor the free hand to create whatever charter schools he wants.
Uh-huh.
You know, the bills they were initially proposed aren't moving forward, so they're undoubtedly going to try and attach those to other bills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what those are yet. I think we all have to be vigilant on that.
Right, and I talked to Maida Coleman over the weekend about some of that, and there's no way for the average citizen to go find out if Francis Lay has attached his bill to something else, but we've all heard that Francis Lay has said, I'm going to try to attach my bill, and Jeff Smith is carrying it for him, and that's why. You know, it was clear why Jeff Smith was running and who he owes, because he's running around carrying all of Francis Lay's bills and trying to attach them to whatever piece of legislation that he can get it attached to. I saw this one piece of legislation, Peter. I don't know if you saw it, about the prisons.
Yes, I did see that. I did see that.
That
very quickly, a bill's been introduced that says for every a person in the state prison system who graduated from St. Louis or Kansas City schools, the cost of imprisoning them would be deducted from the state aid sent to St. Louis or Kansas City schools.
You know, and I'm all for it. Let's do that, okay? But let's do it for every single prisoner that's in the state of Missouri, because they went to some public school somewhere, didn't they?
No, some went to private schools.
Okay.
They're not public school
there
graduates.
There you go. Okay, fair enough. Private schools and public schools, let's charge them all. Let's start charging families for what? For the cost of the... I mean, come on. That is a piece of legislation directly given to... let's just call it what it is. It's about black kids in these public schools.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's incredibly... stupid, racist piece of legislation, and it's really shocking to see it in the 21st century. But that's Missouri.
That's Missouri. Peter Downs, thank you so much. Anything coming up that people can go to before our next our conversation?
May 7th. We have a special school board meeting May 7th at noon at 8:01 to take up two items that we tabled at the meeting in last week.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and see you next week.
See you next week.
Listen, folks, I'll be back with author Fred Pierce with Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear, Tipping Points in Climate Change. It's a scary, scary, scary book. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families
in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He told Congress, don't give him a bill to pay for the Iraq war with an exit date for the troops. They did, and he's giving it back to them with a big veto on it. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House tells us what's next.
It will be cordial. It will be serious, but they're all...
The House is expected to try and fail to override the Iraq veto. Then Speaker Pelosi and the other leaders will come here to the White House.
We look forward to working with the president to find common ground. But there is great distance between us right now.
And mixed emotions among congressmen, too. Some would accept new language requiring the Iraqi troops to meet benchmark goals. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
So how'd you like to be a fly on the meeting at that, fly on the wall, rather, at that meeting between the president, the House Speaker, and the Senate Majority Leader?
It will be cordial. It will be serious. But there'll also be a lot of silence in the meeting because neither the White House nor congressional Democrats want to show their hand first, want to come forward with a new proposal this morning. I think that means that the icebreakers in this meeting are likely to be the Republican leaders in the Congress who are going to be in that meeting. They're going to be the power brokers in fashioning this compromise.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos. The car business is probably glad to see April in the history book. Sales are down for most makers. More from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
The all-new Toyota Celica.
The big surprise, say analysts, is Toyota. While the Japanese carmaker has been on a roll here in the U.S., it too suffered a drop in sales last month, down more than 4%, its first monthly drop in nearly 2 years. Of all the automakers, foreign and domestic, only Daimler Chrysler saw an increase in sales. Analysts say the sluggish April may be the result of high gas prices and other economic uncertainties. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Again, only Chrysler posting a profit, and just a small one, 1.6%. This is ABC News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by Ford-trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
Do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
Have you ever wanted to look into the mind of an American president? Well, this could be about as close as you can get. Vanity Fair magazine has published parts of Ronald Reagan's diary.
Even in his own handwriting, Ronald Reagan couldn't bring himself to curse. He censored words like hell and damn with hyphens. The gentle grandfather figure writes of his strained relationship with his children. Reagan says Ron, then 25, abruptly ended an argument over Secret Service protection. Nearly a month later, Reagan writes, I don't know what it is with him. I'm not talking to him until he apologizes for hanging up on me.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. An Atlanta jury is deliberating the fate of a couple accused of starving their newborn baby to death. Jade Sanders and Lamont Thomas are vegans. They fed their son a diet that consisted primarily of soy milk and apple juice. The boy, a doctor says, weighed just 3.5 pounds when he died at 6 weeks. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
an update of WGAU News. I'm Peyton Colston. Two Missouri women convicted of killing their abusive husbands are being released from prison. The Missouri Supreme Court ordered one of the women released from prison a couple weeks ago and gave the state parole board the task of deciding whether the other should be freed. The Supreme Court ruled the parole board could not consider the circumstances of the crimes committed by 76-year-old Shirley Lute and 54-year-old Linda Branch. The full parole board met Monday after hearings were wrapped up and decided to free both women as soon as possible. It could take 3 to 5 days to complete the paperwork. Former Governor Bob Holden had commuted the women's sentences in 2004, but the parole board voted to deny parole. In Cuba, Missouri, a grandmother's apparently getting her way. She's been working for 3 years to get the city council to pass a bill making one smoke detector and one carbon monoxide detector mandatory for every home. Four city council members, a majority, have now promised to support the Putnam Ordinance, named for Heflin's son and grandsons. Her son Henry Putnam and grandsons Sam and Matthew died of CO poisoning 3 years ago. City council votes on the measure this coming Monday. And a plaque honoring the St. Louis Stars baseball team of the Negro National League will be dedicated this morning at 11 o'clock at the former site of the Stars Park, now a part of the Harris Stowe University baseball field. The St. Louis Stars won the Negro National League pennant in 1928 and in 1930. Their players included base stealer James Cool Papa Bell, slugger George Mule Suttles, and shortstop Willie Devil Wells, all now Hall of Famers. Surviving former Negro Leaguers are expected to attend the ceremony this morning. That's WGNU News for this hour. I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Weber. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane's blocked. It's at Weber. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 from Clayton Skinker through Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic. There's an accident in Hanley. Expect delays there. Southbound 55 over on the Illinois side between Homestead Rest Area, which is northbound, and Illinois 143, which is north of Edwardsville. Look for an accident. The right lane's blocked. There's an overturned truck, and it's creating some slow traffic there. Southbound 170 from Page through Delmar. Look for road construction having it reduced to two lanes, and it's reduced. It's got traffic backed up all the way through St. Charles Rock Road. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for heavy volume. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for delays. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns around 44. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays, especially in the left lanes. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic. And northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slowdowns at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, occasional showers and thunderstorms, otherwise cooler, high around 70 this evening. Showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the upper 50s. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high around 70, and pretty much the same for Friday. There's a 50% chance of showers on Friday with a high in the mid-70s. Currently, we've got 65 degrees, cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 66 and cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more riveting radio. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
sisters? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. I'm sitting here on the 13th floor. Who makes 13th floors anymore? Sitting here on the 13th floor of the Senate Congress building overlooking city of St. Louis. And I'm looking at this, the weather that we have outside. It seems that as if every single day is a brand new day of unexpected weather. As a woman, I find this particularly challenging because, you know, you like to plan your outfits out. You need to know what clothes you're going to wear, what shoes you're going to wear. Are you going to wear open-toed shoes? Are you going to wear sleeveless? There are a lot of choices that one has to make as a woman, dressing herself in the morning, getting ready for the world. And on a personal note, I just find it very problematic that we have such extreme changes in the weather. Now we have a fella that's sitting in the White House that would tell us that there isn't a problem. There isn't a global problem. No such thing as global warming. It has absolutely nothing to do with the vehicles that we drive. The amount of oil that we consume at over $3 a gallon has nothing to do with us, per se, not collectively anyway, because nothing is happening. And you and I know, as I know, by looking out this window, it was 90 degrees yesterday. And it's cold today. We have had hailstorms, tornadoes, in months that we've never had tornadoes in before. We've had extreme ice storms coming out of nowhere. I think it's still snowing in Denver. What's going on? And intuitively, we know to be afraid and be concerned. And even though that C student sitting in the White House doesn't get it, a lot of us out here do. Something's going on, and we need to have that conversation. And in order to facilitate that conversation about what is going on with the weather, I have joining me from Boston, Massachusetts, Fred Pierce, author of With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. Fred, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm very good. It's a little, I wouldn't say it's cold here, but it's a little wet.
It's a little wet. Well, yes. You know, the point that I made, Fred, and we have just about a minute here before we have to take a break, but should we be afraid?
I think we should. The weather is changing, and it is us that's causing it to change. I don't think you'd find many scientists in the world who disagree with that. You'd probably find one or two, and they're probably both in Washington, but that's about it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Fred, can you begin with a description of and a discussion of the chimney? Can we talk about that when we come back? Let's start with that.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to author Fred Pierce. He's joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. He's going to talk about his book, With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Some field person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and don't forget that this show is broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, or you can go to lizbrown.com, lizzbrown.com. Also, the show is archived at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, that's all right. Go get your hour at whiterosesociety.org. My guest this hour is Fred Pierce. He's an author of the book, With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. And Fred, talk to us about the chimney.
Now the chimney, there used to be several chimneys, there's only one. These are really spooky. They're in the ocean. They're close to the Greenland in the far north of the Atlantic Ocean. And they're like giant whirlpools that go right from the top of the ocean down 2 miles right down to the bottom. And water gets sucked down from the top to the bottom. Scientists believe, the kind of guys that examine the currents of the oceans, believe that these drive a global ocean circulation system that ends up with the Gulf Stream, that ends up by keeping North America, especially the East Coast, warm, and Europe warm too, where I live. There used to be several of these chimneys. They drive this global circulation, a really critical thing in the climate And they're shutting down. And there only seems to be one left, and they're really fearful about what happens if the last one goes. Does the Gulf Stream shut down? What happens here?
And this is water that is siphoned off, and it doesn't return to the surface for 1,000 years?
It takes 1,000 years. It goes down to the bottom. It goes along the bottom of the oceans, through all the oceans. It goes out of the Atlantic, through the Indian Ocean, Pacific, goes right around the Antarctica, and then comes back up through the Atlantic, through the tropics, back up to the surface, brings warm water up through the Atlantic Ocean, up through the North Atlantic towards us.
And only a few people have ever seen one of these.
Yeah, well, they're not, you know, they're not, they don't go so fast that you sort of stand there and you see a whirlpool like in your pool. But I mean, they are doing that. If you put kind of buoys and stuff into the ocean, you can see it going down.
I see.
So they've measured this, and they measure huge amounts of water go down through these seas. They're like whirlpools, maybe a kilometer or so across. Huge amounts of water go down. Really important part of not just the ocean, but the way our weather system works, they believe. They think these kind of things were one reason why we went in and out of the ice ages thousands of years ago, and there may be, if you like, the driver for really fast climate change in future, especially because what we're doing, pumping the air full of these gases from power stations and vehicle exhausts.
Now, Fred, you've been writing about climate change for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why this book?
Because I thought there was something that wasn't being said. The mainstream story that the climate scientists say about how we're putting these gases in the atmosphere and they're starting to warm the planet and it could get worse. But when the scientists say this, they generally talk about it'll be a slow increase. I mean, it'll be nasty, but it'll generally be a slow warming going on. But there are an increasing number of scientists who are starting to worry that things might go a bit faster, that there might be kind of tipping points and flips, if you like, sudden lurches in temperatures, sudden very fast changes, big increase in the number of hurricanes or droughts or whatever it is, so that the climate might not change gradually but might change much more suddenly. And they've been looking at the history of climate change, what's happened, you know, thousands of years ago, and the more they learn about that, it's tough science, but the more they learn about it, the more they realize that that's how climate does change. It changes in big lurches rather than gradually.
You're right.
It's a story that hasn't kind of been told. It's a new science, really. I mean, I'm a science journalist, so I mean, I follow these things. Just in the last 3 or 4 years, they've started telling this new story. So I wanted to get that into print because I think the public needs to know about, if you like, the scary scenarios. The scientists aren't yet certain whether they're going to happen, but they could.
And I love this line in your book, this quote that you put, climate is an angry beast and we are poking it with sticks.
Yeah, that's a quote from, it's not my phrase, it's a quote from Wally Broker, who's an old oceanographer in New York who's been studying the oceans. He's one of the experts on the chimneys and the Gulf Stream. And that's how he puts it. He said, look, you know, this is, there's a lot of, you know, there's this wild animal out there. There is a lot of natural climate change, but we don't really want to antagonize it and make more climate change, increase the risks of climate change.
I love the part of the beginning of your book when you start talking about the pioneers. We have, again, a guy in the White House that's saying that there's no such thing as global warming,
mm-hmm.
but take us to the pioneers who discovered that there is.
Yeah, you still get people, I mean, and they are in the White House, who just don't believe that these gases actually warm the planet. Look, this is, I mean, the physicists going back to Europe 200 years ago have known that. 200 years ago, the first guys discovered that if you put these gases into the atmosphere, they trap the sun's heat. They know how that happens. They can, you know, they've done the work. They've done the research in the lab, and they can see how it happens.
And you talk about
100 years ago, a guy worked out more or less exactly how much warming you'd get from that. He did all the calculations. He spent 2 years doing it because they didn't have computers in those days. He spent 2 years doing these calculations, and really our modern computers haven't changed that calculation much. So, I mean, the White House people sometimes, and a lot of people in Washington, I've just been in Washington 2 days ago, and they're still there. And they kind of make out that this is sort of cookie science, that it's weird science, that it's something the environmentalists have got to scare us. It's not true. It's old science. The only thing we're now discovering is the pace at which it's happening.
So do we have a sense of when this is going to happen? Do scientists have a sense of the when of this?
Well, it's starting to happen now, isn't it? I mean, you know, we can see how the weather's weather's changing, we're getting more droughts. If you're in Australia now, I mean, in Australia now, they've got the absolutely huge drought. It's emptied the rivers. They're wondering whether they're going to have to abandon towns. Really getting serious there. To a lesser extent, there's a drought going on in the west, in the U.S. now. There's a lot of weird weather going on. A couple of years ago, we had that really big hurricane season. Again, these are not things which you can absolutely certainly say were definitely caused by man-made climate change, but it does look very much like it.
Let's talk about one of the chapters that you deal with is the hurricane season.
Mm.
Let's talk about that, because there are some changes that happened before that and where we are right now. So talk to us about this.
Well, look, I mean, we've always had hurricanes. Hurricanes aren't new. You know, there's one about 100 years ago in Charleston, which killed, I think, 10,000 people. I think I have that number right. So we've always had hurricanes, but the scientists who are out there counting them, trying to see how many there are and how strong they are, they're saying we may be getting more. We're certainly getting more strong hurricanes. The Category 4 and Category 5 hurricanes are turning up more and more. You remember a couple of years ago, I mean, they name these hurricanes after letters of the alphabet, and usually they get as far as sort of L or M or N, and then, you know, that's it for the season. 2 years ago, they ran out. They got through to Z. They had to start again. There were just more hurricanes that year. Now, we're not going to get more hurricanes every year, but it's just that the risks are rising. And that makes me scared because, we saw what happened with Katrina. We saw how New Orleans wasn't able to cope, how America wasn't able to cope, really, with one hurricane. Now that makes me think that we're pretty vulnerable to scary weather. It's not something we can assume that we can cope with. We're big guys now. We can deal with this. I don't think we can.
Well, the thing about the hurricanes now, aren't they taking in more land and more coastal areas than they used to? And aren't they appearing in places where they've never appeared before, like Brazil?
Yeah, now that was a really, if you talk to the climate scientists, they say, well, Hurricane Katrina, yeah, that was nasty, but not unexpected in a way. But there was 3-4 years ago, there was a hurricane in the South Atlantic called Katarina. Just coincidentally, the name was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we never have hurricanes in the South Atlantic. Never. None on record. Yet this hurricane formed in the South Atlantic, and it hit landfall in Brazil. And that really did worry them, because they said, we just have no record of that. We've never seen one. And the scary thing, perhaps, is that I know some climate scientists in the UK who've been looking at some of these issues, and they predicted that by about 2070, in other words, in 60-odd years' time, there might be the first risks of hurricanes forming in just that part of the South Atlantic. So it looks like things are happening way ahead of time.
And we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, can we talk about what the energy that feeds a hurricane?
Mm.
Because, I mean, isn't that one of the explanations that scientists are using for why these hurricanes have the force that they have?
Yeah, that's right. You need a lot of hot water in the ocean to form hurricanes. And if the waters are warming, which they are, you get more hurricanes and you can get more intense hurricanes.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with author Fred Pierce. He's the author of With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. Be afraid. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound Illinois, 55 between Homestead Rest Area and Illinois 143 up in Edwardsville. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's an overturned truck. Expect delays there. Northbound 55 from Bayless through Weber Road. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane's blocked. It's at Weber Road. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Southbound 170 from Page to Del Mar. Look for roadway reduced to two lanes, and traffic still backed up through St. Charles Rock Road. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for an accident cleared at Hanley. Expect delays as a result. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for slowdowns around the 44 Exchange. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slowdowns. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for heavy volume. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for slowdowns around the Exchange there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank into the landing. And northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge that approaches slow. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, occasional showers and scattered thunderstorms, otherwise cooler with a high only around 70. This evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the upper 50s. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms continue with a high around 70. And Friday, pretty much the same, showers and thunderstorms with a high in the mid-70s. Currently, we have 65 degrees and cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 66 and overcast skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Listen, folks, I am so excited to tell you about a new member of the Wake Up Call advertising family, Golden Grocer. You know what? Golden Grocer Natural Market. I've been telling you for years about why you should live healthy, and now you have the means to get some of that work done. Get on down to Golden Grocer. I'm happy to announce that they are a new member of the Wake Up Call advertising family.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
The Lutheran Family and Children's Services present their annual Spring Fling Carnival on Saturday from 11 to 2. It takes place at Elm Point Early Childhood Center in St. Charles. Enjoy food, games, raffles, and much more. You can buy 5 tickets for $1 before May 5th. Tickets are 4 for $1 the day of the event. Proceeds go toward purchasing classroom supplies. Find out more by calling 636-916-4041. Something for you from AM 920.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Men who lack common sense will leave a lie to themselves, to themselves. A friend once said, and I found to be true, that everyday people, they lie to God too. So what makes you think that they won't lie to you? Forgive them, Father.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is the author of With Speed and Violence, Fred Pierce. He's joining us from Boston. And Fred, welcome back. Talk to us about India. Why is India important in this discussion about what's happening with our climate?
Well, India is, well, it's very dependent on the weather, really. I mean, there are a billion people in India. It's after China. It's the most populated country on the planet. More than three times as many people as in the U.S. And they absolutely rely on the rains every year in order to live. Basically, the monsoon rains come there for about 100 days every summer. And every scrap of rain that comes off the monsoon, they divert to their fields and they grow their crops. And that's how they live. They don't really have many other resources going for them. So if something happened to the monsoon, they are in serious trouble. A billion people are in serious trouble. And there are risks, because one of the things that climate change might do, no forecasts, but might do, is switch off the monsoon or turn it down. And that is really bad news for them. They have other things going on, like smogs and stuff, because they're starting to industrialize.
Talk
again,
about this
kind of
this
starting
brown,
to interrupt the weather.
The brown haze piece, because you talk about, you discuss that in your book. Tell us about that.
Yeah, brown haze. It's kind of contradictory. It actually, parts of India are cooler than they used to be, and the reason is because they're producing so much pollution, not just from factories, but you know, a lot of coal burning going on there. The cities are pretty unpleasant places, the air sometimes, and all fires out in the villages and stuff, it all kind of builds up. The great areas of smog that are formed, especially in wintertime, over that part of the world, and they are shading out so much of the sun that even though there's kind of globally there's warming going on in India, especially in northern India, there's cooling going on. But that's not, and you know, people are freezing to death in northern India in the winter. Now, you know, believe that if you will. People are freezing to death in India. And put these two things together, you have a very dangerous situation for that monsoon, because the monsoon depends on the land heating up at certain times of the year and the ocean heating up at other times of the year. There's a kind of complicated interplay going on between the land and the ocean, which drives the wind that brings in the big storms that deliver the rain. That's how the monsoon works. And if you interrupt that, you're in trouble. And if you put together global warming and the pollution, the brown haze, as they call it, then that's serious. And this brown haze is big. You know, it's, you go right up into the top of the sort of weather zone, you still find this smog up there.
Isn't that stuff. Yeah, that's one of the things that you talked about in your book, that scientists were shocked to find thick brown smog 13,000 feet up in the Himalayas.
Yeah, that's right. You find it in the Himalayas. You go out of the Indian Ocean, which is one of the most kind of pristine places on Earth, or used to be, and you find this stuff. I've experienced that. You fly through some of these areas in the tropics, and usually the air is just fantastically clear. there. I mean, like nothing that you'd see over North America or certainly not over Europe. Really crystal clear air. You haven't experienced anything like it until you've flown through something like that. And yet suddenly, right out over the ocean, you can run into these huge banks of smog. I mean, not very thick smog, but a sort of browny, unpleasant stuff that you know is just man-made pollution. Yuck, it's really nasty stuff.
And so what are the ramifications of brown smog, thick brown smog, up in the Himalayas? Because there are people in India that are saying, you know, well, why are you picking on us? Other countries produce pollution as well. Why is this one so significant?
Well, I'm not picking on the Indians. I think if you add up all the pollution produced by all the people around the world, the Indians, if you like, per head of their population, are pretty low down. I mean, their emissions compared to, you know, yours and mine, whether in North America or in Europe, they're much lower per head. But, of course, there are a lot of people, so, it does add up. It doesn't matter that much more than anybody else's, but it matters a lot in global terms, but it matters a lot to them because, as I say, they do live in this monsoon rain system, which they're very dependent on. And the risk is that those local things happening there could just flip the monsoon off. There are a number of ways that the monsoon might get flipped off. And it has in the past. Climate scientists know that the monsoon does switch off. And if it does that, last time it switched off, there were probably a few tens of thousands of people living in India. Now there are 1 billion people living in India.
Greenhouse effect. What is that? And who was the person that discovered that? Tell us about that.
Greenhouse effect is a term which goes back out there. Scientists disagree about who came up with the term. But look, the greenhouse effect is these gases that trap heat. It's like a greenhouse, if you like. Imagine a greenhouse that you go in a greenhouse in the summer, the glass just kind of traps the heat inside, and it just heats up, and it gets warmer than it does outside. And the greenhouse gases, the carbon dioxide and these other things that we push out of vehicle exhausts and out of power stations, they have the same effect as if you like, a pane of glass in a greenhouse. They trap the heat down in the lower levels of the atmosphere where we're living. That's what they call the greenhouse effect. And the problem is that once we put this gas into the atmosphere, it doesn't, like some kinds of pollution, disappear in a few days. It builds up. It builds up. It accumulates. It sticks there for hundreds of years. So the more we put into the air, the more the levels of these greenhouse gases in the atmosphere are rising. And scientists have measured this directly for more than 50 years now. They know that every year there is more and more of these gases in the atmosphere. And guess what? This is the period over which temperatures, globally speaking, have been rising.
One of the things that those of us that don't have your expertise or your years of studying this know is we know that the Amazon has a huge role to play in this.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about the role of the Amazon and what's happening to it and its impact on us.
Well, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, people started saying that there was a drought in the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really strange. The Amazon is one of the wettest places in the world. It's this really lush rainforest. It rains pretty much every day there, and yet they suddenly started getting these periods when it doesn't rain in the Amazon, and the River Amazon, not down near the sea, but way up in the, you know, further up, it's a huge river, is starting to dry out at certain times, and that's really strange. It looks like the weather in that part of the world too is starting to change. Now that's a big problem, because we're talking about carbon dioxide, this gas that traps heat and which we're putting into the atmosphere by burning oil and stuff. This can also be put into the atmosphere if you start destroying rainforests. Trees and forests are pure carbon, basically. That's what they are. And if you burn, or if you burn those trees, or if the trees die and rot and, you know, get eaten by insects and so on, they put large amounts of this gas into the atmosphere, just the same as if you're burning in a fuel in a car. So that's an issue. And the worry is, and again, I go back to some of the scientists that I talked to in the UK, they believe that by 2050, 2060, something like that, the Amazon may get so warm and so dry that the forest might start dying off in large amounts. And they have scary scenarios. They say that by the end of this century, I find this hard to believe, but they say they've done the numbers and they believe it, that by the end of this century, what is now a lush Amazon rainforest could literally be desert because they believe that once the rainforests die off, the soils are pretty poor there, and it could just turn into desert. And that's bad for the Brazilians, obviously, but it's bad for the rest of us, because all that carbon that was tied up in the trees and in the forest would have gone into the atmosphere, causing more warming. The danger is that we get into a cycle that, if you like, we put gas into the atmosphere, it warms the atmosphere a bit, traps more heat. That causes more gas to go into the atmosphere from rainforests and soils even, causing more warming and yet more gas going into the atmosphere. And you get a kind of runaway cycle. Now, I'm not predicting that that's actually what's definitely going to happen, but I know a lot of scientists, and I spoke to many of them researching this book, who say that's their big fear, is a kind of runaway global warming. Now, 10 years ago, scientists, if you'd said to them, you know, what about runaway global warming? They said, no, it might happen on Venus, but, you know, not on this planet. Now they're not so sure. Now they begin to think something nasty could be afoot.
Is the science better, or is the evidence better 10 years later?
Yeah, it's both. I mean, it goes together. You know, the scientists have to rely on the evidence. They have to, I mean, they know, compared to 10 years ago, they're much, much more certain that there is no other explanation for the warming going on now other than our greenhouse gases. They've really ruled out the sun. The sun, if anything, would have been making, because there are changes in how much heat we get from the sun, so that's an issue. But the sun, if anything, over the last 30 years would have been cooling us down, not warming us up. So they're absolutely certain now that it's man-made emissions of these heat-trapping gases that's causing the warming. What they've also been doing is investigating, if you like, how the planet is responding to the warming and how the planet has responded in the past to kind of climate change. And they're coming up with these scenarios that they think the planet is going to amplify the warming. We put in a bit of warming, and the planet won't respond by shutting it down, by cooling us down. It will amplify it and cause more warming. And that is, I think, the number one reason why I call the book With Speed and Violence, because that's how climate change looks like it's going to happen.
So,
and why the scientists that I talk to are genuinely scared. They're really scared. You talk to them, they're really scared for their children and their children's children. And they say, look, this is getting personal now. I can see that, one of them said, look, I can see that in, say, 2050, my daughter is going to be in the midst of this. She's going to be about my age, and it's going to be really scary. So it's getting personal for them now.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to author Fred Pierce. He's joining us from Boston. He's the author of With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. Shop for all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hello, I'm Doug Scott, Director of the Illinois EPA, with a special message for Illinois farmers. You've probably already heard a lot about global warming and that it could be devastating to Illinois, including our crop production. To help combat the problem, Governor Blagojevich has created the Illinois Conservation and Climate Initiative that helps farmers earn money for trapping carbon dioxide in the soil. For additional information on how you can be a part of the solution to climate change and make a little extra money, go to IllinoisClimate.org website.
At the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, my parents keep on telling me, just senior is winning.
Okay, spellers, please take your seats.
I'd like to announce the results of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. From the New York Times, gold stars all around for this riotously funny and remarkably ingenious new musical. Can you spell irresistible?
I-R-R-E.
No, dear, that was rhetorical.
Rhetorical. R-H-E-T-O-R-I-C-A-L.
Moving on, the Wall Street Journal calls Spelling Bee that rarity of rarities. A super smart show that's also a bona fide crowd pleaser.
Bona what?
And Associated Press calls Spelling Bee a winner and asks, how do you spell hit?
Ooh, I know this one.
Find out how much you know at Spelling Bee. At the Fox Theater, May 8th through the 20th. Tickets through MetroTix, part of the U.S. Bank Broadway series, sponsored by American Airlines.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Chris Drack.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east.
Welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Mercy, mercy me indeed. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Fred Pierce. He's the author of With Speed and Violence, and he's joining us from Boston, Massachusetts. And Fred, you talk about a couple of things in your book that were really fascinating to me. The Achilles heel. Talk to us about Pine Island Bay.
Oh, now, if you want to get glaciologists, the guys that study glaciers and ice sheets, really worried, you talk to them about Pine Island Bay. It's about the most remote, the most dangerous, violent weather on the planet. It's way down in Antarctica. And it's on a place called the West Antarctic Ice Sheet. Now, this is a really strange system. There's a lot of ice down in Antarctica. The ice piles up for, it's about 2 miles thick, so there's a lot of ice there, and if that ice melts, and it gets into the ocean, then our sea levels are going to rise. If just one half of the Antarctic ice cap melted, the West Antarctic ice cap melted, that would raise sea levels by about 20 feet right around the world. That's pretty serious. I think where I'm sitting now would definitely be flooded by that. West Antarctic ice sheet is not sitting on land. It's in the ocean, frozen solid to a whole series of underwater mountains. It's almost like a kind of huge shipwreck, you know, on these underwater mountains. It's frozen to it. It's huge, unbelievably large amount of ice. And scientists are getting worried that, if you like, so it's being warmed not just from the atmosphere above, but also from ocean currents that get underneath the ice, sort of going around between the valleys, if you like, between these mountains, and melting this ice from underneath. And scientists are getting very scared about how stable this whole ice sheet is, and that it might begin to break up or lift off this mountain. Like any, you know, you get a shipwreck and it sits there on the rocks for a few years and eventually starts to break up, and they fear that might happen to this West Antarctic ice sheet. And the place they're most worried about where this breakup starting is, as you say, the Achilles heel of this, which is Pine Island Bay, where there seem to be big kind of movements of ice going on, big flows of glaciers coming down into the ocean, huge icebergs coming off. And that is the place, they're doing research down there right now, really intense research there for the first time to try and find out what's going on. But they're getting very worried by that, and I think we should all be worried by that, because until quite recently, scientists figured that, okay, these ice shelves, these ice caps might melt, they might raise sea levels by quite a lot, but it would take probably thousands of years to do it, because it would just be a very, very slow process. And when we talk about things being glacially slow, it's a kind of figure of speech. Glaciers happen slowly. Now they're not so sure. They think this breakup might be much faster. And that, you know, that's a new scary scenario, but you talk to the glaciologists, the glacier scientists today, and that's what, you know, that's what gets them up in the morning.
And it goes back to the point that you were making and that you've made in your book time and time again, that nature's strong and it packs a serious counterpunch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, environmentalists, a lot of environmentalists say, look, nature's really fragile. We've got to be really careful that, you know, we don't sort of destroy all the ecosystems and stuff. I look at it the other way around. I think nature's pretty strong. As I say, I think she packs a pretty serious counterpunch. And if we start messing with her, we're going to hit trouble. And I think that's the point we're at now. We're starting to hit trouble.
And you talk about well, tell us what could be done to protect ourselves from nature's counterpunch.
Oh, tons of things. Look, I may sound like a real pessimist talking about all these scary things that could happen, but actually, end of the day, I'm an optimist because my book is called Tipping Points in Climate Change, and there are scary tipping points that we could hit that could really speed up global warming and so on. But I'm also an optimist because I believe there are tipping points in our own lives,
That's right.
Politics and in our economics. We can fix this.
We can fix it quite fast.
And there are things like biofuels. There are things like different ways of generating our electricity from wind power and solar power and all these other things. It's like being much more efficient in the way we use energy. I mean, we waste energy like you wouldn't believe. Now, you and I can do a certain amount in our homes and in the way we run our lives. We really need people to redesign our homes, build houses that are much more energy efficient, build vehicles that are much more energy efficient. And I think the corporations are starting to get on this case because they are seeing that the people are demanding it and the people will buy the new products if they think they're energy efficient. People, us, we want to do something about it. The corporations are starting to get wise to that. They think there's money in this, and I think they're exactly right.
And in the past, when nature hit back or when nature changed and there were these huge climate changes, we were able to, as a species, we migrated, right?
Yeah, in the old days, I mean, actually, the last 10,000 years, which is when we've done all, if you like, the big things that we as a species have done. We discovered farming, got into farming, we started building cities, we discovered the steam engine and, you know, computers and the whole works. I mean, everything that we've done, everything that's taken us out of the Stone Age, if you like, has happened in the last 10,000 years, which is since the end of the last Ice Age, it's been a period of very, very stable climate. Climate scientists will tell you this. Pretty unusual in the planet's history, to be honest. So we have had to migrate when things have gone wrong, when we've screwed up soils or, you know, things have just not kind of worked out. We've always been able to move on. But we can't do that now because, you know, there is only one planet. If we make a mess of the planet, we really don't have many options. We can't go to Mars. That's just not on. So we've got to think about the stewardship, I think, of our own planet. We're learning. The science, I think, is going to tell us how to do that. But at the end of the day, it's only going to happen if we as societies, as communities, as individuals really decide, no, look, we do want a future for our kids and their kids on this planet.
One of the challenges to those of us that are trying to figure this out and to get a sense of what is real, what is political, what is true, what is not, We only have to look, we look at papers, we listen to reports, and I guess the concern that I have is that the scientists themselves are politically pressured to only give us part of the story about what's going on.
There's quite a lot of pressure on scientists. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, they're in Washington, they're powerful guys, and they try and persuade the scientists to tone down their reports and to be more moderate and not be, if you like, not to scare people. You know, you can't scare people, because that's just not what you should do. I think the scientists have been pretty good, actually, at standing up to this. I mean, I'm a journalist. I'm pretty skeptical about, you know, sort of human motives in lots of ways. But I think the scientists have been pretty good. I think they've been pretty honest. If anything, they've been a bit too cautious. But, I mean, they have generally been pretty honest about what they think. When there are uncertainties in what they're saying, they're pretty good at saying it. But I find, as a reporter, I think there's more, if you like, a consensus in the science community about climate change than almost any other topic. You'll always find a few mavericks who have something weird to say. really there's a big degree of consensus. And sometimes I think that doesn't get across in the media, where you present this as kind of two sides, is there climate change or isn't there climate change? The truth is there is climate change, and 99% of the scientists are absolutely certain about that. There are questions about how far it might go, and some of the things that I've talked to about today are more controversial, but the basic stuff is pretty certain.
And when these changes would occur, that would be another discussion point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very difficult to pin it down, but I think we don't have long, for sure.
Fred Pierce, I want to thank you so much for joining me. Fred Pierce, author of With Speed and Violence, Why Scientists Fear Tipping Points in Climate Change. Thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks, Liz. I enjoyed it.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour from, science and nature, Mother Nature, packing a counterpunch. We're going to go to American prisons. We're going to look at what is behind prison riots. That's going to take place in the next hour. I'm Liz Brown. You don't want to miss that conversation when I talk with Ed Mead, publisher of California Prison Focus magazine. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's no progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Stop me, listen.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He is one of the FBI's most wanted, a man accused of doing horrific things to children and a major threat to the public, and he's now under arrest.
Kenneth Freeman was caught in Hong Kong. He was among the U.S. Marshals' 15 most wanted criminals after he failed to show up for a 2006 court appearance in Washington State. Freeman's a former sheriff's deputy. He's accused of molesting his own daughter, videotaping it, and posting the video on the Internet, where the U.S. Marshals Service says it became one of the most widely downloaded child pornography videos.
ABC's Aaron Kuchersky. That's an angry Joe Biden. The Delaware senator and Democratic presidential candidate says his party's not done trying to change the direction of the Iraq war. The president vetoed a bill yesterday that would have started a troop withdrawal next fall. Today he'll sit down with Democratic leaders to try and hammer out some kind of a compromise.
I think it's very likely that the White House would accept some sort of benchmarks that put pressure on the Iraqi government. What they're not going to accept is anything that constrains the decisions of the military leaders and the commanders on the ground.
That's ABC News Chief Washington Correspondent George Stephanopoulos. The fourth of five brigades of U.S. troops being sent to Iraq to help with the Baghdad security crackdown is in place. That's about 4,000 soldiers. The U.S. military says they'll be deployed in the capital and in northern Iraq. There are at least 12 more deaths in Iraq today from various bombings and shootings. The estranged wife of the nation's first openly gay governor says she was shocked when her husband came out of the closet. Dina Matos McGreevy is now talking about it.
I thought, you know, I had it all. I thought it was the American dream, and it turned out to be a nightmare.
She's recently written a book called Silent Partner. An Atlanta jury is deliberating the fate of a couple accused of starving their newborn son to death. Jade Sanders and Lamont Thomas are vegans. They fed their son a diet mainly of soy milk and apple juice. The boy weighed just 3.5 pounds when he died at 6 weeks. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 50 points. This is ABC News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by board-trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
Do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
The Rosslyn Chapel in Scotland may be more than just the last resting place of the Holy Grail, the church which, if you're a fan of the book or the movie The Da Vinci Code, you know very well, may also hold another secret, one that we didn't know about before. More from ABC's Linda Alvin in London.
The Rosslyn Chapel of Da Vinci Code fame has given up another secret, discovered by a concert pianist and his dad, a former World War II codebreaker. Intrigued by 13 angels and 213 cubes carved into geometric patterns, the pair decided there was a melody locked in that masonry.
The cubes projected out quite a long way, and... It was practically saying to you, there's something here.
Father Tommy and son Stuart went on to recreate patterns of pitch using sand dispersed by vibrations at precise frequencies. And if the stones could sing, they might sound something like this. Linda Alvin, ABC News, London.
And I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Time for this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In Illinois, several state lawmakers, including State Representative Dan Beiser of Alton, are joining with AARP, the Citizens Utility Board, Citizens Action Illinois, and other consumer advocates to hold the Power People Organized and Working for Electric Relief rally at the State Capitol Rotunda Wednesday, May 9th. Beiser says the people have been suffering under the high electric rates for far too long. Twice this year, the House has sent legislation to the Senate that would roll back the electric rates to their lower 2006 levels, freeze them for 3 years, and provide a rebate to customers equivalent to the amount they've paid so far this year. The rollback legislation has failed to see action in the Senate on each occasion. Beiser has arranged for a bus to travel to Springfield from the Alton area. The Metro East legislator is also hoping consumers from around the state will converge on Springfield to let lawmakers hear their outrage and hopefully spur action. In Jefferson City, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt signed legislation this week that will help keep shelves stocked at local food pantries. The House bill, sponsored by Speaker Rod Jetton, authorizes income tax credits for donations to local food pantries. The bill authorizes a tax credit that equals one-half of the food or monetary gift and cannot exceed $2,500. The total amount of tax credits each year issued will be limited to $2 million. Last year, the governor signed legislation that enables grocery and convenience stores to donate food to organizations that offer free distribution without fear of being subject to criminal penalties or civil damages because of the condition of the food unless an injury is related to the gross negligence, recklessness, or intentional misconduct of the donating store. That's WGNU News for this hour. I'm Peyton Colston on AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for an accident cleared at Hanley. Traffic's easing this hour. Kings Highway at Del Mar, there's an accident to report northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is looking good at this hour. Southbound 270 between Dorset and Olive, look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's at Olive and on the ramp to Olive. Fire crews are on the scene at this hour. Westbound 40 between Hanley and 170, look for road construction. One lane closed, and that's resulting in some slowdowns there. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, look for the same. Road construction, one lane closed. Eastbound 70 at Lake St. Louis, you've got road construction, one lane closed there. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Oakland, you've got road construction, two lanes are, it's reduced to two lanes, and same with eastbound, it's reduced to two lanes from Oakland through Hampton. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing. Westbound 5570 is moving well into the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 from Ball Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound 270 at 70. Look for no delays. Eastbound 70 just east of Earth City Expressway all the way into St. Charles Rock Road. You'll start to see some easing up of the traffic situations there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, occasional showers and thunderstorms, otherwise cooler with a high around 70. For this evening, showers and thunderstorms likely, low in the upper 50s. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms continue, high around 70. Thursday evening, cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 60. And then on Friday, cloudy skies, a 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-70s. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how
can you listen? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Say my name. We have much business to tend to. This is the Wake Up Call. My goodness gracious, this show is broadcast live over the World Wide Web from Xenia to Zimbabwe. You can catch the Wake Up Call at www.wgnu.net or check me out at www.lizbrown.com. That's lizbrown.com. Don't forget that the shows are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, that's all right. Go to whiterosesociety.org and get your hour. My name is Liz Brown. We have much, much, much to talk about. In the midst of all of the mayhem and murder that took place
on Virginia Tech's campus, there was also something else that took place, and that is a prison riot took place at a medium security facility. How'd that happen? Why did that happen? What does that mean? We need to talk about that. We need to talk about what's going on in our prisons. I heard an advertising, I think it was, or something, some announcement or something over the airwaves, that the Pew Charitable Trust is now in the prison business. We need to talk about the prison business and what's happening in prisons. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from San Francisco the publisher of California Prison Focus magazine, Ed Mead. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you, Ed. I guess I kind of want to start with what happened in that Indiana prison, and what does that mean? Here we have a riot taking place in a medium security facility. Talk to us about that.
Okay. Well, as you indicated, that riot was kind of an anomaly. But there have been a lot of riots that don't get that kind of play. We have them frequently here in the state of California. That particular riot was a result of the state of Illinois accepting over 600, the first shipment of what would have been 1,600 prisoners from Arizona State who were involuntarily transferred from their home states, away from their families and loved ones, and with rules that are way different from the institutions they came from. For example, in Illinois, they were not permitted to smoke cigarettes.
In Indiana, you mean?
Yeah, excuse me, yeah.
And so
they tried, you know, a number of forms of peaceful protest and petitions and that sort of thing in an effort to try and get back to their home states. Back to Arizona, and none of that worked, and so they initiated this protest. Two guards received minor injuries, but some fires were lit and stuff like that. But I think it was probably overblown by the initial reports from the sheriff's office.
Well, okay, we're going to take a break here, Ed. When we come back, I'd like to move from what happened at Indiana to what's happening in prisons there in California.
Okay.
And I'd like to start with Cochran when we come back.
Okay.
I'm talking to Ed Mead, publisher of California's Prison Focus magazine, and he's joining us from San Francisco. Stay with us.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Praise the Lord, everyone. This is the Elder Mitchell Thornton of the All Request Sweet Sounds of Music. We bring you the best gospel sounds in St. Louis, as well as the up-to-date church news to help you plan your weekend worship every Saturday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on WGNU 920 on your radio dial.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here. Right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with the publisher of California's Prison Focus magazine, Ed Mead. He's joining us from San Francisco, and we're talking about what's happening in American prisons. And Ed, let's talk about, is it Cochran? Is that how you pronounce it?
Corcoran.
Let's talk about Corcoran.
Okay.
Start at the beginning. What is Corcoran?
Well, it's a prison that was built in a remote community, as most prisons are, away from the big cities where most prisoners come from. And the townspeople of Corcoran thought, oh, good, this is going to be a great deal. We're going to have a prison built, local people will be hired, and the economy will boom, and everything will be wonderful. And so they built this maximum security prison there. And, of course, the Department of Corrections brought in their own guards, their own administrators. People from the local community, for the most part, were not hired.
But they were led to believe that it would be a boom for their economy.
This would be their salvation.
And this was in 1988?
Yeah, how about then?
Okay.
And so then what happened is a lot of family members, especially Hispanics who have strong family ties from the L.A. area, moved to the town of Corcoran. And as a result of that, a lot of social services put demands on the community, financial needs, welfare and health services and other types of crime came in, and it was not good for the community. As far as the prison itself, Corcoran has a security housing unit, a SHU, as we call them, and that is a form of sensory deprivation in which prisoners are kept in concrete boxes smaller than the size of your bathroom for 23 hours a day, actually more than that, and where they have no communication with any other person. There's not bars in the front of their cell that they can talk out through. Everything is solid. And if they leave to go to the doctor or something like that, they have to back up to a food slot that opens and closes. The guards open the food slot. The prisoner backs up, and they cuff his hands behind his back. And then they'll open the door and let him out, and then shackle him and waist chain and all that kind of stuff. And it's really the United Nations has branded that kind of treatment, that kind of sensory deprivation, that sort of isolation as a form of torture. And so that's one of the things we're doing here, is trying to shut down these SHUs here in the state of California.
And how many of them are there?
There's three official SHUs. But then they have administrative segregation units that are increasingly becoming like SHUs, but they're, because of the bad name given to the SHUs in the eye of the public, they're starting to give these things a different name. Just like back when the rehabilitation era was being initiated, guards became correctional officers, wardens became superintendents, prisoners became inmates, and prisons became correctional facilities. And so that's what's happened. They're changing the name of the SHUs, essentially. In fact, our Department of Corrections here was recently renamed Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation.
Mm.
But as always, that's the only thing that's changed.
Is the name. Is the name. Talk to us about the violence and what took place, the particular type of violence that took place in Corcoran. The gladiator fights.
Yes. We California Prison Focus has a video of the gladiator fights that was taken on prison cameras, and we call it Maximum Security University. And the big problem in California prisons is that it is the racism of the prisoners themselves. Of the white prisoners, the Aryan Brotherhood, Nazi lowriders, that element. And they enforce a strict segregation. If you arrive in a prison and you want to talk, you know, or walk the yard with a black, if you're white and you want to talk or walk the yard with a Mexican prisoner or a black prisoner, then someone gives you a talking to. And if you continue to do that, more pressure is put on you. And if you still continue to act in a rational way, they'll assign someone to do you violence. And so, backed up by this form of terror is a racial segregation. And as a result of this, there's all the prisoners have divided themselves up into these various gangs. The white prisoners are largely allied with the guards, who, for the most part, in these rural communities where the prisoners are located, are white. Indeed, I did time in Brushy Mountain Prison in Tennessee. It's a very reactionary area where both the guards, not all the guards, and not all the prisoners, but a substantial number of guards and prisoners belonged to the Ku Klux Klan. And that was, it was just, you know, that type of thing. And so,
how long ago was that, Ed?
Huh?
How long ago was that?
That was 1980.
Okay.
And they still had the whipping post in the center of the yard where they used to whip prisoners. They stopped that a couple of years before I got there, but that's how backwards they were at that point. Anyway, so what happens is that these guards allied with the white prisoners will release one section of one segment of prisoners to the yard, and then release their enemies to the same yard, and we have, as a result of that, we have race riots. We have a lot of those in California. The gladiator fights that you were talking about are a little bit different. These are people who were held in the shoe. And what they would do is, the guards would do, is they would release one prisoner from one race and into the yard, the exercise yard, and then another prisoner from his enemy's race into the yard at the same time.
And these were people that had been in these sensory deprivation.
Yes, uh-huh. These are people who were...
Had been tortured.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So and then the guards... So all this is being filmed. So then the guards would bet on which prisoner is going to win as they fight. And to top it off, when the fighting is going on, they'll open fire. And in all these pictures that we have and all these videos that were obtained as a result of a state equivalent of the Freedom of Information Act, is the guards killing these prisoners. And almost...
So these were fights to the death?
These are yes. I mean, these are not barroom fights. The prisoners do not have weapons as a rule in this situation, in a shoe situation, because of the conditions of confinement. They are just fighting, and they'll fight. And the guards, under the guise of breaking up the fight, will fire into this enclosed concrete area where the prisoners are fighting, and kill one of the prisoners. Almost invariably, it's going to be the black prisoner.
So the end of the fight is a prisoner dying from a bullet wound fired by a gun held by a guard
in a tower overlooking the small courtyard where these two individuals are fighting.
And what kind of bullets are they fighting?
Firing. They're firing.
Firing. I'm sorry.
Lethal,
firing.
Deadly bullets. They say they fire warning shots and stuff like that. But fact of the matter is, their rationalization is they're killing these guys in order to prevent deadly violence from taking place. There's been investigations and newspaper reports and all that stuff, but no one has ever been indicted.
How long do these fights last?
Not very long. Minutes.
And this fight where a prisoner dies is on film.
Yeah, many prisoners dying is on film. It's not anybody who wants to take a look at this, hopefully not for morbid reasons, but to see the reality of the situation, can contact Prison Focus at www.prisons.org and order a copy of Maximum Security University on CD or videotape.
And that analyzes four of these shootings.
Yes.
Now, and I guess the statistic that is interesting to me is that between 1988 and 1997, more prisoners were killed by guard gunfire in California than all of the other prisons in the United States combined.
That would not surprise me.
We're going to continue having our conversation. I'm talking to Ed Mead, publisher of California Prison Focus magazine. He's joining us from San Francisco. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. I want to extend a warm welcome to a new member of the Wake Up Call advertising family, Golden Grocer Natural Market. I was thinking natural because when you think natural, you have to think Golden Grocer. I have been teaching you, talking to you, bringing you shows about how to do better, and now I'm going to get you the means to get it done. Golden Grocer Natural Market joining the Wake Up Call. Welcome. People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
For my business, I want a bank with ideas.
For my business, I want a bank with solutions.
That business bank is Heartland Bank, with innovative products and services and a knowledgeable staff to provide solutions.
I want a business bank that listens.
I want a business bank that responds.
That's Heartland, offering personal one-on-one attention with the responsiveness today's business world demands. Heartland means business. So call Heartland Bank today at 314-512-8888 to start your new business banking relationship. Heartland Bank is FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361 7127. All phases of roofing.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Ed Mead, publisher of California Prison Focus magazine. He's joining us from San Francisco, and we're talking about the conditions in prisons, and in particular in prisons in California. And Ed, let's continue this conversation about what happened at Corcoran. We have these gladiator fights. Are there other types of instances where guards are engaging in this type of brutality with the prisoners?
Yes, this scenario has taken place at other facilities, but not as openly and not as as shockingly as at Corcoran, and especially since Corcoran guards have kind of throttled back the openness with which they mete out violence to prisoners.
Were any of the guards punished for these gladiator fights? Was anybody charged?
There were some charges, but nobody was ever convicted.
And in terms of the response of the correction facility, did they make any changes? Did they do anything? And I guess the other piece of it I'd like to talk about is the race piece of it. Are they addressing the race issue in this prison?
No, they are not. The racial situation and the number of riots in California prison focus, or excuse me, in California prisons, is very high, more than one a week. You don't hear about them nationally like you did the events in Indiana, and almost all of these are race related, and this serves the interests of the administration. It keeps the prisoners divided. It keeps them fighting among themselves. And the guards are sympathetic to the racist prisoners. And the prison administration is made up of people who come up through the ranks for the most part. And so there's that kind of attitude that infects the entire department.
How does it help the prison for the prisoners to keep fighting amongst themselves?
How does it help the prisoners?
No, how does it help the prison? The people that are running
because,
the prison.
If the prisoners saw themselves as a group, as an oppressed minority, as an oppressed segment of society. I mean, here you have the 13th Amendment abolished slavery in the United States, except for those convicted of a crime. So you have a segment of the population, 2.3 million people, who are being held under conditions of slavery. They're kept in a state of dependency and irresponsibility. They're disenfranchised. And how important that is not only if convicts had been permitted to vote in the 2000 presidential election, but just ex-convicts in the state of Florida. George Bush would have never been elected. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqi citizens, civilians, would still be alive. I mean, that's how important these kind of rights issues are. And yet these prisoners are not able to grasp or come to grips with this because of their internal conflicts. And this serves the interests of the prison administration that, it's better that They would prefer that there be no violence. The prison administration would prefer that everything ran smoothly in the prison. But if there is going to be violence, they would rather it be internecine violence within the population as opposed to violence directed against them. And so that's kind of how this thing plays out. But the worst part of this is this racial thing morphs. And so what has happened is it's spilled out into the community and into the county jails. And so now in the Hispanic, and black and white communities are elements of those communities are fighting each other out on the streets now, and people are dying. And so it becomes more important than ever to try and break through this.
How hard would it be? How hard, Ed, would it be to stop the segregation, to stop the fighting, and to stop the racist practices that are taking place in the prisons?
Well, federal court has handed down a decision saying that the racial segregation in California prisons, in the housing of California prisoners, is unconstitutional. And yet, nothing has been done to enforce that decision, and nobody is doing anything about that. The guards, the prison administration, the guards union, which is very strong in California, and the prisoners themselves do not want this implemented. And because the prisoners don't want it implemented, of course their family members don't want it implemented. And so the beat goes on. The articles I write, I rail against this racial animosity that goes on the inside, and how, you know, that your interests are with each other, not with the people, you know, not with the people who are holding you against your will at gunpoint.
Let me get to a caller or two here.
Okay.
Christine, you have a question for my guest,
yes,
Edmund.
I have a question. But first, I'd like to say that George Bush was not elected. But my question is, have you compared how America treats its prisoners to how other countries treat their prisoners? Because I have read and I have seen documentaries. They seem to treat their prisoners as human beings so they can be rehabilitated.
Thanks for your call.
Would you rephrase the question?
The question is have you had a chance to make a comparison of how prisoners are treated here in this country as opposed to other countries? Because the caller said that I've seen documentaries where it appears that prisoners are treated different and better in other countries than they are in the United States.
Of course, this is an uneven question. If you're a prisoner in Afghanistan, especially if you're in Guantanamo, mm-hmm. or if you've been subjected to rendition to some secret prison around the world by the United States, where torture and interrogation are, so it depends. Or if the United States gives you to Jordan for torture, or Egypt, then your conditions are very bad. Here's the thing. If you had a suit of clothing, or if you had a dress or a blouse or something that had a weak spot in it, a tear in the fabric, what you would want to do is you'd want to apply a patch. You'd want to strengthen that area. And crime is a reflection of the social fabric, of a weakness in our society. And last month, the Legislative Budget Office for the Senate here in California issued updated figures on the cost of housing a prisoner for 1 year in this state. And that was $43,200 and some.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Now, the prison is a factory, and it turns out a product. And for the most part, that product is people, angry people. I mean, if you put a dog in a small cage and poke a stick in at it day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, finally when you release that dog, it's going to be, not pleasant to live with. And this happens in a lot of cases with prisoners. They are going in there, they're dehumanized, they're brutalized, they get out, they take that rage out on their wives, their children, their neighbors, the community. Unknowingly, I mean, you know, they're unconscious about it. For that same amount of money, you could send these guys to Harvard and make rocket scientists out of them for less money even. And that works. I taught myself computers while I was on the inside, and over the objections and overcoming huge obstacles by the prison administration in order to enable me to do this, and I came out and started working in a computer field, and I retired recently, making almost $80,000 a year. I mean, never have not even been interviewed by a police officer in the nearly 20 years I've been out. We just need meaningful jobs, meaningful skills.
Are you surprised, Ed, at how bad it has gotten since the 20 years ago that you were in?
I'll tell you what. I did 20 years, almost 20 years, on my last sentence.
What were you in for, Ed?
Armed bank robbery. I was part of a group called the George Jackson Brigade in Seattle. And we protested the Vietnam War with armed actions. And I was arrested for that. And we financed ourselves through what we called bank expropriations. Anyway, so I went in early 1976. Just shortly before that, I had hitchhiked to Buffalo from Seattle to Buffalo, New York, to volunteer with the Attica Brothers Legal Defense for a month or so, and hitchhiked back. And there was no fear. I mean, nothing like And while there were poor people, you know, hippies that, you know, would panhandle on the streets, usually they'd have some beads or something, or, you know, trying to, it was nothing like the homelessness problem. So here I am, Rip Van Winkle. I go to prison. My only clue to what reality is what I see on television. And then I come out about 20 years later, and everyone is afraid of everything. Talk to a strange child on the street? Are you crazy? There's nothing you can do. I mean, it's just people are just afraid, and homeless, you're stepping over them.
And hold that thought, Ed, because we have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Ed Mead, publisher of California Prison Focus magazine, joining us from San Francisco. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Sil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Sil and Tim.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this morning with Ed Mead, publisher of California Prison Focus magazine. He's joining us from San Francisco. And Ed, you were talking about the world that you experienced after getting out of prison. And
yeah,
it was a world of fear.
Just that people were so much more atomized, isolated from each other, and more fearful. I mean, they feared everything, and didn't talk with each other as much. And it was a Rip Van Winkle moment of coming out and adjusting to an entirely new reality. And that those are two of the things: the level of poverty and homelessness, and also how atomized people were and how fearful they were, shocked me. And I've been out, I guess, going on almost 14 years now, and I've seen it gets worse. The crime shows on television, be afraid, be very afraid, be afraid of everything, and don't commute, have your iPod plugged into your ears, or in some way, just cut off from everything. And as a result of that, not to change the subject, but look at this terrible war we're waging against the people of Iraq, and the American people are just so compliant and complacent.
Oh, and Ed, I'd like to talk about California for a moment, because you made mention of the fact of the numbers of prisons that you have in California, the strength of the prison, prison guard union. Didn't the governor of California recently declare that California was in an emergency because of the lack of prison space? Talk to us about that.
We have about 100 and over 170,000 prisoners in this state. We have more people locked up per capita than any other state in the union. The United States has more people behind bars than any other nation on earth. And here's back in 17th century England, it was a capital offense to pick a pocket. And so they would be hanging a pickpocket, and the crowd that would gather to watch the hanging would be have their pockets picked by other pickpockets that come to work the crowd. And cutting down a tree on a public lane, and there's so many crimes for capital offenses. The problem is, here in the state of California and across the United States to a lesser extent, their response to crime has been to increase punishments, to three strikes, less paroles, always more and more repression, always longer sentences. So the prisons are overcrowded. People are triple bunked. They're sleeping in hallways. They're sleeping in gymnasiums. So they have this terrible overcrowding problem.
And also, didn't California used to have the largest public education system in the country?
And that's what happens. The money goes into prisons. It's taken out of the pocket of education. And the long-term effect of that, of course, is to cause more people to go to prison. The what they're doing does not work, and yet they keep wanting to do more and more of it. So the medical conditions inside California prisons is so bad that a federal judge has put the state's medical facilities, the prison medical facilities, in receivership and assigned a special master to overlook this. The judge found that one prisoner a week is killed in California as a result of medical neglect.
One prisoner a week?
One prisoner a week. We just had a demonstration here last month in front of the Capitol building, 400 of us. We all wore black armbands to signify our mourning for those one prisoners a week that are being killed. And this is a finding by a federal judge.
This isn't something statistics that you're putting out in your website. Not just that, it is a finding by a federal court.
Exactly. And they're also judges also are talking about putting the entire California system under federal jurisdiction. So we have all of these prisoners crowded into this little space. And what they want to do is what Governor Schwarzenegger wants to do. Well, first of all, he tried to transfer some prisoners out of state, and he tried to get them to go out of state to agree to be transferred away from their families and loved ones, and the prisoners wouldn't go for it. So then he threatened to do it forcibly, and the prisoners went into court, and the guards union went into court, and got an order saying that would be unconstitutional to ship these guys out of state. It was a superior court. It wasn't a federal court. And so that's not a very high court. So how that's going to be resolved remains to be seen. But just a few days ago, the state legislature passed a $6 billion addition to the corrections budget for building additional 65,000 additional beds. And so here we are. We're doing more and more of what doesn't work. Just like the hanging in the pickpockets didn't work. If they keep this up, pretty soon half the people are going to be prisoners and half the people are going to be guards. I mean, this is no way to run a country. It's time to start giving some rational thought.
But here's the challenge, Ed. Where are we hearing rational thought from? Given the fact, and I'm just doing this based upon what you've said this morning, but given the fact that we have a huge union in the state of California, a guards union, I bet it's stronger than the teachers union.
It is.
So given the fact that we have entities like that, people that want to protect these great jobs, they're being paid more than teachers are being paid.
You bet.
So who, and given the fact that people who run for office and hold political office are there because somewhere along the line they talked about how they were going to be tough on crime.
Yep.
Given the fact that we live in a society that has really turned its back to the idea of what's wrong with throwing somebody in jail for three strikes. If it's your third time you're stealing, then you need to be in jail for the rest of your life. What are you seeing in California that's giving you any hope that change can occur in how we view incarceration and what we need to do about crime?
Okay.
And you have one minute to
answer. Two-part question. First of all, I personally am of the opinion that the issue, as long as the social inequalities exist, that we're not going to really address the crime problem. Now, what's required is a radical transformation of existing class relations in order for that to happen. Since that isn't going to be happening anytime soon, and you're right, the lawmakers are not going to step up and advocate sentencing reform, or additional paroles. There's people who are 80 years old, have very sick that they still keep in prison. I mean, there's so many people that could be released without any danger to society. But in any event, the focus that I come from is that we cannot rely on the governors, we cannot rely on the legislators, and the public is just totally misinformed by the media that the only alternative that they're provided with is more and more of, like I say, what hasn't worked. And the idea of course, sending these guys to college or giving them meaningful job skills, the public doesn't want to accept because, gee, my son can't go to college. You know, why should this lawbreaker be able to go to college? So anyway, the impetus for this change has to come from the ground up. It has to come from the prisoners themselves, their loved ones on the outside, and the progressive community on the streets. And from that, real change can come. When I went into the Washington State Penitentiary at Walla Walla, how you proved yourself as a man, how you set yourself up in the pecking order, was by raping vulnerable gay prisoners. You know, it was like that was how. And we created a group called Men Against Sexism, that of prisoners, that put an end to the buying and selling of prisoners by other prisoners and the prisoner on prisoner rape. Those things can develop from on the inside. And build up. And so that's where the change has to come, is from the ground up, from the grassroots. The problem is, of course, developing the consciousness of the prisoners. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do is to make social prisoners, that's regular prisoners, rights conscious, and rights conscious prisoners class conscious.
What's your website, Ed?
www.prisonart.org and www.prisons.org.
Ed Mead, publisher of California Prison Focus magazine, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Okay, thank you for having me, Liz. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure as well. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, thank you so much for listening today, and you know the drill. Stay strong.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile,